Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Final day of February. It's the 28th, Thursday. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Trump's summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un came to an abrupt and early end without a deal between the two countries on Thursday. During a press conference after the talks concluded in the Vietnamese capital, Trump described them as a very productive time. However, the president also said that he felt it wasn't a good thing to be singing in agreement. It was a very interesting 2 days, and I think actually it was a very productive 2 days, Trump said, but sometimes you have to walk, and this was just one of those times. The press conference was hastily moved up by nearly 2 hours when the talks concluded. A schedule for Thursday that was released on Wednesday by the White House showed a joint agreement signing ceremony had been planned and then canceled. A working lunch between the two leaders was also scrapped. Trump indicated the failure to reach a deal stemmed from disagreements over the U.S. sanctions against North Korea. Trump later added that Kim Jong-un was only willing to denuclearize areas that are less important than the ones that we want. The summit was the second meeting between Trump and him following the summit in Singapore last June. He is the first sitting U.S. president to meet with a North Korean leader since 1948.
It's pretty wild seeing them travel in their vehicles. So Trump's vehicle is like, they think they're both like $1.6 million, but they are just so loaded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So loaded with
armor.
I can only
imagine.
Yeah. It's crazy vehicles.
A six-year-old boy was found safe and sound after carjackers forced the child and a male passenger from a stolen car, police say. The boy was escorted from his Chesterbrook home late Wednesday night by detectives and taken to the special victims unit after police had to put out a bulletin for his return hours earlier. Around 9 o'clock, the stolen Mercedes SUV was found abandoned at 3rd and Fisher Streets, but the suspects remained on the loose. Detectives say a group of men carjacked a father with his son and a family friend at gunpoint in West Oak Lane at about 5 o'clock. The father was forced from the car with the child and an adult passenger still inside. Within a couple of minutes, the men dumped the passenger and the boy around the corner. The child and family friend walked for about a mile and a half to East Mount Airy, where they were located by police. Police have not released any description of the suspects other than that they were seen in a burgundy Chrysler. Detectives combed through the contents believed to have come from inside the silver Mercedes that were scattered throughout the intersection. Investigators say it's not clear at this time if the carjacking was random or if the victims may have known the suspects. Anyone with information asked to contact police. New Jersey transit officials say the Atlantic City Rail Line will fully resume service on May 24th. The line provides transportation between Philadelphia and Atlantic City. It was suspended in September in order to install federally mandated emergency braking systems. Service was expected to resume in January, but that didn't happen. Governor Murphy says this needs to be up and running by May 24th.
Does anybody know, is there an express route, or is it making stops along the way? How long does the average trip take from Philadelphia to AC on that line?
About an hour or so. But I don't know if there's any express routes or anything like that.
Times where it runs as an express.
Right, right. But like Tour de Shore and stuff
that.
Like, you know, I'm riding my bike there, so one way or the other, I'm getting on the train either. Too.
Okay.
So you take the train when you do that? You take the train back?
I usually take the train to Philly. What I'll do is I'll drop my bike. I'll park my car at a casino, and then I'll ride my bike to the train station, take the train to Philly, ride my bike to Atlantic City. Yeah.
And then that way you can drive back. Okay.
Booyah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We understand that providing this timeline is so important to our customers' ability to get their lives back to normal, said New Jersey Department of Transportation Commissioner. New Jersey transportation officials say not having enough engineers also delayed the reopening of the Atlantic City line. They assured the crowd that was gathered at the Cherry Hill Mall on Wednesday that 6 new classes of engineers are in training now. Riders frustrated over a lack of communication and dealing with what they have called a nightmare. They're forced to find alternate means of transportation, including buses back and forth through Atlantic City and a service restoration timeline that keeps changing. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
Jermaine Samuels hit five three-pointers and scored a career-high 29 points as the defending national champion Villanova Wildcats ended a three-game losing streak with a 67-61 win over number 10 Marquette nice. Golden Eagles. Sadiq Bey hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 2:31 left to help the Wildcats improve to 21-8 and 12-4 in the Big East. Villanova won its first 10 Big East games and appeared to be heading to a number one seed in the league tournament until they had four losses this month. They have only two games left in the regular season, including Saturday against Butler, and tip-off is at 2 o'clock. Both the Sixers and the Flyers were off last night and both returned to action tonight. The Sixers will be in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder, and tip-off for the nationally televised game is set for 8 o'clock. The Flyers are also on the road and play another team. They're chasing in the playoff standings as they travel to Columbus to play the Blue Jackets. With only 19 games left in regular season, the Flyers are 6 points behind Columbus in the Eastern Conference. The puck drops at 7 o'clock and will be broadcast on WMMR. The Eagles will not place the franchise tag on quarterback Nick Foles, according to general manager Howie Roseman. At the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis, Roseman said, "We're going to let Nick Foles be a free agent. He deserves an opportunity to lead a team." Foles' primary objective this offseason was to find the team he could call his own after two noteworthy seasons as Carson Wentz's backup. Foles opted out of a contract with the Eagles, paying him back $2 million in February. By letting him walk, the Eagles are expected to receive a compensatory. Yes, pick as high as the third rounder in 2020. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Here we are, Thursday in all its glory. We have one more day until Cardboard Classic headed up tonight, getting set, broadcasting live tomorrow morning. And then the event takes place on the sledding hill right after our show.
I'm not a fan of jinxing anything, but I think at this point, everything looks pretty perfect for tomorrow.
So far, so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Never know what's going to roll
you
out.
You never know. No, we found that out last year
on the hill, but we're excited to bring all of the action to you via audio through the radio, and also we'll be streaming stuff. You'll be able to see videos, but please come and join us for the full experience. You've been saying for years, you know, I should go to that. You never do. Come on up, just give it a try. Why not? I think you may turn it into an annual event, which we see groups of regulars every single year. They start renting out places well in advance of the announcements.
It's a very familial thing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
And I don't know why, but every single time I see like a story or I see like new people that are new people to me, but sure, they've been doing it for years.
Right. Oh, man, that you is can't super meet everybody. No. Yeah, no.
Yep, so we're set to go for that. But in the meantime, we have a show to do today. So we have some guests who are going to be joining us on the program. Our friend Richard Curtis, who is the host of The Clash Room, is going to be getting in touch because they're doing some schedule shifting. He's a great guy. He teaches at my son's high school.
I've watched The Clash Room a number of times, and it's sort of a good sort of entree. So you got, well, there's news pertaining to it, but it's a younger version of Jeopardy, I think. I really enjoy it.
It's fun to play along with. So Richard's going to join us. We also have comedians on the program today. Mark Norman, who's going to be at Helium tonight, is stopping in. And Ali Sadiq is going to be here, who's performing at Punchline. So we'll talk to those guys. And for the first time in the history of the Preston and Steve Show, we have stopping by in our studio this morning, Redstone American Grill. Kathy's favorite place in the world. Her happy place.
Yes, that is her happy place.
Fervently believe Kathy would have starved to death long time ago
if it weren't for
Redstone.
I agree.
Seriously,
I love going to Redstone. So I'm excited. They're coming by this morning. They are doing a meet and eat. I'll check and see if we have some giveaways.
We're supposed to have giveaways.
Okay, so listen up for your chance to win some stuff there. And we've got some beer to give away. We've got movie screening passes. Captain Marvel's coming up next Tuesday, so we'll make sure we have your opportunity to get on board and be a part of that. So as you can see, many things to get to today. Let's take a break. Come back in a moment. Stupid question. I had the last one for Black History Month.
Yeah.
And we will get into the entertainment stories that I've set aside for you. Come back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish. It's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do a stupid question, and Black History Month, our final question. I want to thank Craig Ligons for sending me all these great stupid questions for this month. And I've got several of them left, so I have a question. Do you want a sports question or a movie question?
Let's go with movies.
I agree.
Yeah.
How about this? And I'll bring up the sports one in just a second.
Yes.
Because it's a good one, too. But how about this? What is Al Pacino's drink of choice?
That's a good one. I was going to watch that this weekend.
215-263-WMMR. Al Pacino's drink of choice. Not Al Pacino.
No, yeah. I know.
Al Pacino's drink of choice.
It is such a good movie.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays, and there are a lot of them today on Thursday, February 28th, while we're waiting for your call to come in. We'll start with a very lovely Allie Larcher.
Very lovely young lady.
She's from this area. She's from New
Jersey.
Right?
Jersey girl, yeah. And she is 43 years old today.
I tell you, the first time I saw her was for some sort of, Axe body spray.
It wasn't Varsity Blues?
No, they were blocking out her, like a black bar across her breasts and her nanny hoo-hoo.
Oh.
And she was dancing seductively, and then Varsity Blues.
Wow, she's a stunner. Mm-hmm. Something about her.
Did you see her in the movie with Idris Elba and Beyonce? No. Where
she was like the
seductress?
Yeah,
and
she was the gal at work who had an obsession with him.
Yeah.
No.
You should.
And I remember when they were doing promotion for that because they sent out like some videos of her pretending as if she was talking to you.
Yes,
you
remember that? Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Oh yeah. It was super hot.
Stalk me.
Scary because she looks like she could switch like that into psycho mode.
She's good.
Well, I liked her character in Heroes as well. Yeah. I wish they would have done more with her because she was apparently a rage monster.
So she's almost like Jean Grey, like
I thought she was more like the Hulk.
Well, they introduced too many characters too quickly. Yeah. That was the problem with Heroes.
And she looked great in Legally Blonde, and she's a good actress. She's 43 today. All right, two models. We have Natalia Vodianova, who is a Russian supermodel. She's 37, and Karolina Kurkova, who is a Czech supermodel. She's a Victoria's Secret angel.
Jeez.
And she's 35 today.
I wonder how many from that area. There's so many models from that area. Who end up with Victoria's Secret or just high fashion models. A ton of them.
Yeah. Then you have Radon Chong.
Yes.
Daughter of Tommy Chong. Movies like Commando and The Color Purple. She's 58 today.
She's also in Quest for Fire. I think she teaches a primitive man how to do missionary.
To do missionary?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. John Turturro. Great actor, man.
I love him.
Good things. Do the Right Thing. The Big Lebowski. Quiz Show. He should have won an Oscar for Quiz Show.
He was so good, you wanted to bitch slap him, but
Herbert
he was so
Stemple.
Interesting. Yeah, a real character. Yeah. Yep.
And he's great in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And so on.
Transformers.
Transformers, Rounders.
Yes.
A lot of great
movies. Mr. Deeds?
He is the butler with the black foot.
That's right. He's 62 today.
No. Adam Sandler has the black foot.
No.
Yes.
Adam Sandler has the black foot.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And then he has him, like, because it was frostbitten at some point.
He takes a poker and shoves it through his foot, and Adam Sandler goes,
Why would you do that?
Just kidding, man. So John Turturro is 62 today. Our buddy Gilbert Gottfried is 64.
I really enjoy Gilbert's podcast, which is the Amazing Colossal Podcast, because Presley focuses in on the kind of people that we. The interview he did with John Astin. Now, really, it's the other guy that he's on the podcast with really does most of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these quirky people that from pop culture that we love, and they're so enamored of Gilbert that they end up showing up and doing the show.
Steve, did you see Family Guy last week or the week before where Stewie is blowing a dog whistle?
Yes.
And the dog, Brian, can't hear it.
Right.
And then they cut to what it is, Preston, and Brian hears Gilbert Gottfried going, meh, meh.
Oh,
that's what dogs hear when you blow a dog whistle.
Yeah.
Funny thing, when you said Stewie blowing a dog whistle, I thought you were going to stop before you said whistle. And
you could on that show.
For just a flash of a second, I was like, where are we going with this? Because I didn't see that.
That was most unpleasant.
Gilbert Gottfried is 64. And on his podcast, you might have somebody like the next couple of birthdays, Bernadette Peters.
Oh, wow. Man, I
love her.
Great actress. And she does it all, sings and dances and acts as well. The Jerk, she was so great.
You know, she's really good in a bizarre role, and I thought sort of sexy, was the secretary in The Longest Yard.
She's, oh, my God.
She's the one that Brett Reynolds
comes hair in.
He
says,
are there any spiders in that thing? In her hair? Yeah.
You know what? Is that worth watching, that movie?
It is.
It's a great movie.
Better than the Adam Sandler remake.
This is them and The Jerk singing that song. And I love the fact that Deadpool brought Bernadette Peters back around. Because Wade has a self-pleasuring obsession with Bernadette.
How old is she?
You belong.
60s?
71.
71, wow.
Happy birthday to Bernadette. And she still looks great, to be honest. And then there's another one who might end up on Gilbert Gottfried, Gavin McLeod.
Oh, wow.
Mary Tyler Moore Show and The Love Boat, two of the biggest things he was in. We were just talking about the creator of Love Boat, the writer of that book, passed away.
And he played Captain Steubing.
A few days ago, yeah. He's also on The King of Queens. He's 88 years old today. Wow, Gavin
McLeod. He did a lot of movie work before the TV stuff. You see it popping up in things like Kelly's Heroes and other films. Yeah. Worth some biggies.
Then we have Mario Andretti.
Wow.
Who turned 79 years old.
Legend.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe I've said this before. He'd headquartered in and around in the Poconos because of, you know, Pocono Raceway's out there.
Right. Sure. Penske team. Yeah.
Penske team is, or at least used to be out that way. Yeah. And I was surprised to find that it was so close to where we are. And that's, dude, where they build the cars and the whole thing. So he is 79 today. And the last birthday, the Big E, Eric Lindros.
Whoa.
Celebrates his 46th birthday today.
We want him back here in Philly.
We want him back in Philly. And
I didn't do that to you, Case.
And he knows it.
So. He'd been here since Friday. I tried to get him on the show, but I guess he was kind of busy. But he did. He was at the outdoor game on Saturday night, and then he was at the game on Tuesday night as well.
Okay.
So
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
I had to.
Phone.
You do it to dudes, Eric.
I have to apologize.
You do it to dudes.
Because we're kind of around the same age, so I don't know what it was, but I sort of fell in love with you a little bit in a totally gay way. I don't know. You do that to guys, Eric. You do it to dudes, man.
I don't know what just happened here, but it was uncomfortable.
Jeez, these things happen.
Jeez.
There are some ways to possibly stay away from them occurring, but they will occur from time to time.
So you're in Toronto now?
There it
is.
We want you back here in Philly.
Oh, man.
The tone of your voice.
We want you back here in Philly.
Oh, boy.
So much.
He'll be back in the area on Sunday. I believe he's doing an appearance at a...
I'm so glad you're back.
New Jersey bar somewhere, but why would I know that? Why would I know anything about that guy?
Happy 46th birthday to Eric Lindros. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is Al Pacino's drink of choice? 215-263-WMMR. And we will go to Ralph and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Ralph, how you doing, buddy?
She got beautiful boobs.
Yeah, well done. Nicely done. All right, so what is Al Pacino's drink of choice?
It's what I'm drinking right now, a little booty sweat.
Booty sweat! Of course. From Tropic Thunder. Hang on a second, Ralph. Going to set you up, man. We've got a pair of tickets to see the Lonely Island Wednesday, June 19th at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Pre-sale and complete details on the concert calendar page at WMMR.com.
He's just thinking.
The very beginning of the movie shows that commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Of him for booty sweat. And there's just half-naked chicks hanging all over him and stuff. And you can give it away, right?
Yeah.
Turns out he's gay.
Yeah. Hey, at the award ceremony at the end, what is he? Is he with Joey? Is he with Lance Bass? Right?
Lance,
yeah, that's his boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a great movie! All right, I have stuff to get to. Speaking of movies, actors, actresses, and so on, Following their steamy duet of the Oscars, Lady Gaga has dismissed rumors of a romance between her and Bradley Cooper. I think we have a case. Can you pull up a clip of this? I think we had it from yesterday. The A Star Is Born co-stars sang, of course, the film's track, A Star Is Born. No, they didn't sing A Star Is Born.
They sang Sha-la-la-la-la.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sha-la-la-la.
At the Academy Awards, making for one of the night's most memorable moments, spectators began wondering whether anything off-screen had happened between the pair, with Gaga denying anything but a professional relationship between the pair. And
yeah, we're looking for it. If you want, I have a pitched up Rocky Balboa. We can play that, and it's
you looking for the Oscar performance?
Or, I don't know.
No, it was a quote. We had it yesterday. It says...
what was she talking on?
She talked about basically acting?
Maybe I was wrong about us having a clip about that. All right, anyhow, I'll tell you what it was. I have the quote right here. She said, first of all, social media, quite frankly, is the toilet of the internet. And what it has done to pop culture is abysmal. I love that she said that. She said, and people saw love, and I guess, and guess what? That's what we wanted you to see. This is a love song. The movie is a love story. She added that that Bradley had directed the whole performance. So it was his idea to do it the way they did it.
It was a good idea. I think also, Preston, she brought up the fact that she did exactly the same sort of thing when she sang the torch songs with Tony Bennett.
Yeah, she said, from a performance perspective, it was so important to both of us that we were connected the entire time. She said, I mean, look, I've had my arm around Tony Bennett for 3 years touring the world. And when you're singing love songs, that's what you want people to feel.
Hey, Gaga, look down at the bench. I left you a little something.
Kimmel.
To remind you of San Francisco, where they poop on the streets.
Kimmel jokingly asked whether she was having an affair with Bennett, to which she replied, no, I am an artist, and I guess we did a good job. So
and I have to tell you, there's not much happening down there these days.
She said, I don't feel like...
It's like linguine. Seriously.
Cooked linguine.
Yeah, yes. But on the backside, all hands on deck.
She said, I don't feel like I won, I feel like we won. They received a standing ovation from the crowd for the performance twice, actually, right after that. And then when they came back from the commercial break, they walked back out and everybody cheered. So
they had full-blown intercourse on the floor.
No, I didn't read or see anything.
It was acted. It was acting.
Mm. But apparently they planned to do it that way. They did.
It was romantic.
Of course they did.
And by the way, they clearly like each other a lot.
They did.
And you know, it's the way we all lovingly look at each other. Kathy and I do it constantly. Casey and I do it constantly.
Can we put our heads together for 29 seconds?
Can you touch foreheads right now?
Yeah, touch foreheads and do your next traffic report, guys.
Yeah, oh my God, that would be awesome. Oh my God. Wait, Marissa wanted to get a picture of that.
Oh.
You have to close your eyes. Social media. Steve, make the face. Do it. Oh, my God. Now that's romance right there, folks. By the way, A Star Is Born is going to be re-released in more than 1,150 theaters with 12 minutes of previously unseen footage.
Like the full Death Star explosion.
No, that's Star Wars.
Oh. Damn it.
It's A Star Is Born.
That movie had...
Just repressed it. At the end of the movie, they just cut to a shot of the Death Star. Boom! What the F was that? It's the equivalent of the Willy Wonka. Yeah. What the F?
I need to go watch that. I haven't watched that in a while. Case, what were you going to say about the movie?
No, I was just going to say, emotionally, that movie had affected me for a couple of days.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, and I was texting with Kathy about it. I was happy crying during the movie, but even like the following day, I felt off. I don't know why. And
Well, that shows you that a movie. Listen, I am a massive fan. I thought this was a really. I did enjoy it.
I had never seen the originals though, so I had nothing to compare it to, which worked better for me. I think.
And I knew what was going to happen, obviously, in the project, in the way the story carries out. But it's one of those classic stories. Somebody who comes along who you know, the ugly duckling or the person who's sort of normal, and they see the beauty in that person. And, and then also what happens when you're in a conflicted love, you know?
And also the one scene.
I'm sorry, there's a text.
It says, hey, Nick and Casey open mouth kissed at the Camp Out for Hunger.
True.
And they're not romantically involved.
It was a performance.
It was a performance. Yeah, good
point. I mean, I do love you, but we're not involved.
No, we're not involved anymore. But there was the one scene in the movie that I don't know if it had happened in the original movies.
Which one?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, right. So I'm not going to give anything
up. When the Death Star explodes?
But, yeah, but there's a scene at an awards ceremony in this movie.
Yes.
That, like, that part affected me. Because as it was going on, you're going, no, no, no,
yep.
No, no.
There is. There is.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
In every version of the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, so the one-week release begins on Friday. So far, A Star Is Born has grossed more than $425 million worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah, so I, you know what? I may get out and see that maybe even this weekend. If
you
I
don't got it. It's on, I think it's on the Apple TV and all the streaming services.
If you want to see it in the
Movie theater.
In the movie theater. Yeah. I'll put my head against yours.
A good date movie.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
Take the wife to that one. So let's dive into this, okay? So the whole cheating scandal with the keeping up with the Kardashians is a full-time job, just keeping up with that. So to summarize.
Who knew that was an actual command?
I'll do this quickly. Khloe found out her boyfriend Tristan had cheated on her again, this time with her sister Kylie's best friend, Jordan Woods. Since then, Khloe dumped Tristan, and the Kardashian clan has closed ranks around her, ousting Jordan from all future business dealings with the family. Though Kylie is reportedly torn and is considering possibly reigniting their friendship when enough time has passed, according to the reports. Oh, and Jordan is ready to sit down with Jada Pinkett Smith to tell her side of the story on Friday's episode of Red Table Talk on Facebook. So these are the things we all know. Thank you.
That was well done. I happen to be very familiar with this story, and you nailed every point.
In the run-up to the interview, Khloe is busy looking sexy on social media and liking posts that slam Jordan.
Oh, so she's busy looking sexy and liking posts. What an act of life.
One tweet that Khloe liked was a tart response to another tweet claiming... So she's liking responses to other tweets.
Yeah. Not just the regular tweets themselves. No. She likes the responses.
You know what's crazy?
That's a full-time schedule.
Well, it's almost part of her job description. You know what I mean? Like, well, I had a tough day at work today. I had to like all of these posts, you know, and replies.
So anyway, there was she liked one that claimed that her family was smearing Jordan's name for ratings. The second question, Jordan's motivation for the interview. I really don't understand the point of this. There's no way she can justify what she did. So anyway, she liked that. And Khloe isn't the only one who isn't a fan of Jordan's sit-down. When a fan praised Khloe's friend Malika Haque for always having her back, she wrote, "I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again, but I damn sure wouldn't make excuses."
Alcohol,
she has in parentheses, in an interview to gain self-pity and save face. No one in my life could condone that coward-like behavior. Meanwhile, Tristan has also been spending time online, liking Courtney's recent gram featuring herself, Khloe, and Kendall Jenner showing off super sexy sheer outfits.
So wait a second. Okay, so that picture was posted after the whole thing went down.
Yeah.
So he's liking that picture.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think you'd want to just lay low for a while, you know?
And finally, in a new twist, it seems that Jordan may have hooked up with Khloe's ex, James Harden, the same night she made out with Tristan. Sources tell the site that Jordan confessed to hooking up with the Houston Rockets star right after her rendezvous with Tristan.
So that was the guy she was with, Khloe, when they had that elaborate fireworks display that set the town went nuts because it would violate, they say it was violating noise ordinances. Yeah. So, Preston, another rub to this incredibly complex Citizen Kane-like story. Jordan Woods might have signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, that she might be in violation of for appearing on the Red Table Talks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
So that you never know. It's another day. She might halt that if that is indeed the case. I have one other thing out of that whole group, and this is what we had a clip for. I was wrong about this. Caitlyn Jenner was asked by E! News who she thinks would be most likely to win an Oscar in her family. And the former Olympian had a surprising answer. Do we have that?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Here we go.
Honestly, I think it would be Kendall. If you've noticed all the things that she's done on camera outside of the show, she's just been brilliant. I watch her and I talk to her about it, and I just say, every time you go, it's just such a sparkle in your face. You're so good at what she does. I don't know if she wants to do that yet because she's so successful at modeling, but at some point, I think she should do that. And I think she'd be very good at it.
So I was talking to the other girls about this. We were getting some mani-pedis after just purchasing some lacy panties. And I said, hey, girls, I was thinking, who of my girls would be the best actress? It was so
funny. And then afterwards, we went out and I showed him a trick I do where I balance a car on my chin.
What kind of car?
A huge car.
Like a limousine?
I'm a former Olympian.
Considering all the drama that Kendall brought to the Academy Awards after parties with her barely there Rami Kati Maison de Couture dress.
It's barely there.
Caitlin might be onto something.
If I were to wear something like that, it would look like two medicine balls hanging from a cable.
At the Vanity Fair red carpet, Caitlin brought along her date, Sophia Hutchins.
That's right.
She also spoke about her hope that to have at least 30 grandchildren.
Wow.
She recently shared a picture of her seventh grandchild, who belongs to her oldest son, Bert, and his girlfriend, Valerie Patallo. I'm not familiar with
Who the hell are Bert. These people?
I'm not familiar with Bert.
Bert?
Yeah, I guess it's Bert
Hi,
Jenner.
Grandma. Hi, kids.
Is it one of
Hi, Grandma. Hi, sweetheart. Did you do well in school? Watch this. Mommy's going to bend a tire iron.
One of Caitlin's balls is named Bert.
That's right.
You learned that the other day.
Bert and Ernie. Yeah. I love them dearly, even though I had them move. I followed through, didn't I? Is not the word? I followed through with the
Oh, I don't
surgery.
Know. I never did so. Find out I don't if it was remember. Complete or not.
Mm. They let you keep them, like when you get your tonsils out.
But here's the deal. So Bert spells his name B-U-R-T, and for some reason, I feel like that's a manlier way to spell Bert.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know why.
But
I'm
going to have to tap out of this conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
But, like, Bert Kreischer is more, I don't, he's...
You think he's feminine?
He's B-E-R-T. Manly feminine, maybe not, it might not be the right adjectives to use. Maybe a tougher way.
Okay.
Like a tougher, you know?
So B-U-R-T is tougher than B-E-R-T.
Yeah.
All right.
Bert. Yeah. Because, like, when I hear, like, Bert.
I was done. Okay. welcome to the world, William Bear Jenner, she wrote, with the picture of the new grandchild.
I don't mean to distract her or get us off the rails, but I was thinking about Caitlyn Jenner over the weekend, and if she has always been a woman inside, if she had decided to become a woman in the 70s, would she have been able to compete as an Olympic athlete as a woman?
Not in the 70s.
I'm going to think so. There was a tennis player. There was a doctor, a man who became Renee Richards was her name.
Sounds
is her
familiar,
name.
Yeah.
Okay. And there were big issues about her competing because she was at like an amateur semi-pro level. But when she moved into the female ranks, she was competing at a higher level.
Right. If there's somebody,
and it caused a lot of issues.
Who's as good an athlete as Bruce Jenner was then, now, and decided that person wanted to become a woman? I'm confused as to what happens when somebody like that would like to switch sexes, which is obviously their right and totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
How they're able to then compete on an athletic level. On an equal playing field.
It's a brain scratcher.
It's still being discussed. I don't really know. So maybe we'll find out.
It's kooky, right?
Starts to happen more and more, yeah. All right, so we're moving on to another story. Ben Affleck and Lindsay Shookus dated seriously for about a year.
Seriously?
And they called it quit shortly before the Justice League star had a fling with Playboy model Shauna Sexton and then re-entered rehab. And now, Us Weekly reports, the 46-year-old and 38-year-old Saturday Night Live producer have picked up right where they left off. That's according to an insider.
I think Shookus was good for him.
They reconnected.
That's what I think.
Earlier this month when Shookus reached out to Affleck.
Shookus!
He certainly seems to be in a good mood, by the way, after getting two tickets on his Chevy Chevelle SS while he was inside Starbucks. He ended up hugging the parking enforcement officer who told TMZ he looked better in person.
It was a cute exchange. There's actually video of it, and she's sort of giving him marital advice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The
parking
enforcement
the
officer?
The meter maid, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Chrissy Teigen is sick of everyone, especially interviews, asking her husband, John Legend, how he deals with her. The 33-year-old tweeted, I feel like a very common question when interviewing John is basically, how do you deal with your wife? And I don't love it, she said. She then expanded in a thread writing, it happens a lot. Does she ask you if certain things are okay to say? As an example of a question.
Right.
Said, it's just very weird to me. He usually does the standard no. She knows what she's doing. But it's not even that, she tweeted. It's just that I am a different human than him. It is the most common question with him. So please stop.
Legend was... in hot pursuit of her for a long time. So he was definitely the more interested party in this relationship early on.
Tegan drove the point home saying no one asked her about his activity. She said, you don't ask me how I deal with watching MSNBC every night or what I do while he's silent for a week. So she's asking
she
the
hates
pace.
Him.
Stop it. No, she doesn't hate him.
She completely hates him.
Damn it. Prince, what?
I spilled coffee on my shirt.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Listen, I don't want your sympathy. Shirt. I just want your love.
Let's start a GoFundMe campaign to get you a new shirt.
Anyone have a paper towel?
I got napkins.
He needs Preston has a Tide pen. I know that for a fact.
I keep one in my briefcase.
If this doesn't work out, I may be hitting you.
After you dry it off, I'll get you the Tide
pen. Do you want me to just go online and buy you a new one?
Kathy, this is my favorite.
Listen how happy she sounded.
Do you want me to shop for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Did you get that sound clip I sent you last night?
Of
Kathy?
Speaking of happiness? I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Okay.
So, what is it?
It's a happy sound that you make.
All right. Let me continue on. A couple more stories here. Prince Harry really wanted Idris Elba to DJ his wedding.
Harry?
Yeah, to Meghan Markle. And he tells Ellen DeGeneres on her show Wednesday. Elba said, so Harry and I have hung out a couple times through his dad's charity, the Prince's Trust, helped me out as a young actor.
Huh.
So I do a lot of work with them, Harry and William. And Harry came to a couple of parties I DJ'd, and he said, hey, man. What are you doing on the date? And I was like, nothing. And he goes, would you DJ at my wedding? Can you imagine that?
Asking Idris Elba. But they're pals.
And Elba complied with his request, apparently. Next up for him, Coachella. Remember, he's one of the...
That is right.
He's one of the names. He is spinning music at Coachella, so a big deal for him.
That's a smart move, though. So if you are a guy and you want to prove that you're not the jealous type, you know, you pal around with Idris Elba, you invite him to be the DJ at your wedding. It's like, I'm totally cool with myself.
This is a lot of fun. Jack Black has impressed Thor with his hilarious commitment to the workouts that Chris Hemsworth takes very seriously as an Avenger. On Tuesday, Black posted his tongue-in-cheek take on the workouts, captioning a side-by-side of him and Hemsworth completing the same workout steps. And, of course, Jack's having a little tougher time and using very, very small dumbbells. He wrote, mixing it up, get creative, keep moving, variety is key. Hemsworth approved, writing, ha-ha, you legend.
I wonder how Hemsworth, this is hilarious, I wonder how Hemsworth is going to alter his physicality for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he's going to have to take steroids.
A little bit soft, because that's what Hulk Hogan did, but get a little bulkier and less cut.
I guess so, because
that's Hulk was always...
Just
muscular,
round, but
not ripped.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just big.
Yeah.
But definitely muscular, but yeah, not so defined where, like here, when he is Thor with his shirt off, they have to starve him to death.
He has one almond a week.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, the dude is just in phenomenal shape, Chris.
You look at him and you look like Henry, you look at Henry Cavill and all these guys.
God.
I mean, but the truth of the matter is, they also, that's their business.
It is. And you know what? I saw Hugh Jackman was in the news the other day, and they pulled up pictures of him on the beach with his shirt off, standing in the water, and he was not nearly as jacked up as he was when he was at the height of Wolverine.
So you look like the Wolverine, the one in Japan, the Wolverine.
Oh my
right.
God!
Right. So when he's I mean he's just perfect. But at that point, you're running just. Right, like almost the way before a bodybuilder is taking the stage and they go off stage and they start working out quickly and they keep the pump up and all that stuff. It's not the way you look normally.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I was actually surprised. I'm like, wow, he looks kind of average.
He's a slob.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So, but anyhow, he's working out for his next role.
That should be the new series, Preston, the Out of Shape X-Men.
The Oscar award-winning Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody will finally be released in China. With the scenes showcasing drug use and Freddie Mercury's gayness cut from the movie. They're going to edit that out. The Hollywood Reporter posted sources say that at least 1 minute of cuts will be made to the film, removing portrayals of drug use and several intimate kisses between Mercury and other male characters.
But was Freddie Mercury really known as a gay man?
Unlike in most major markets where Bohemian Rhapsody was a huge commercial success, the film will only be getting a limited release in China, courtesy of the National Alliance of Art House Cinemas, a public-private initiative run by the state-supported China Film Archive and a consortium of commercial theater chains.
Isn't that wild how they added this stuff? And yet, movie companies, domestic movie companies, will bend over backwards because it's such a huge market over there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, Frank Grillo's in one of the most, the highest earning movies in the history of movies.
Yeah.
It was released virtually solely in China.
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing that we share the same planet as some of these nations.
Agreed. Yeah. Let me see. Other interesting things. I don't quite understand this, but Mattel and MGM are developing a live-action film based on Mattel's toy line, Viewmaster.
Okay.
You know.
Every toy ever is now going to get a movie.
The little thing where you put the disc, picture disc in and you scroll through the pictures.
How
do you get a movie?
Viewmasters were always, the discs were many times based on other movies.
Yeah.
Like you would look at scenes from Jaws or whatever. It was 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I loved Viewmaster growing up. Yeah. I loved it. I would sit there and just entranced by it. And then they had a certain point, I don't know if you remember, Preston, the talking Viewmaster.
No.
Where you'd put it in and, you know, like, you know, the time tunnel is, you know, is a way to travel through time. And they had a little, like, almost like a CNC sort of audio quality.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It had a little disc attached to the Viewmaster disc.
So they're making a movie out of this.
That's very dumb.
This will be the second collaboration between the organizations following, and this is through MGM and Mattel, following the February 15th partnership to spin the American Girl brand and story into a film.
At least that's a character.
Yeah, I could see that happening. At Viewmaster,
it's like Silly Putty, the movie.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? So we'll see. How about this? Kristen Bell was photographed leaving the Today Studios on Monday, and a strong gust of wind blew by, treating onlookers to a view of her high-rise underwear.
Really?
Yeah.
She's adorable.
The Frozen star called herself out on Instagram stories, sharing one safe for work shot and captioning it, "This was one of the only pics where my underwear wasn't showing."
Do you like that high-rise underwear look? Because now the big thing with bikini bottoms
SpongeBob.
Is the high rise on the side as well, where you're seeing virtually all the pelvis.
Can't see the lines, can you, Russ?
I've always been a fan of that.
Yeah.
That was the 80s had a nice run with it.
It's back.
So she continued by saying, "I'm not going to apologize for wearing underwear." So she did. By the way, I watched on Netflix the movie with her and Kelsey Grammer.
How'd you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah?
I thought it was going to be really cheesy.
Yeah.
It's actually very heartfelt and very well acted.
Huh.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And it's worth seeing. I mean, there's some...
He's a good actor. She is as well.
I was really impressed with both of them. So it's worth a watch per me.
Yes.
All right. And then one last story. The CW's Dynasty is bidding farewell to Nicolette Sheridan, who played the scheming Alexis Carrington. The role may be recast. CBS television studios and CW said in a statement, Nicolette Sheridan will be leaving Dynasty in order to focus on some personal family responsibility.
Like unemployment.
She was a valuable asset to the show, and we wish her continued success in the future.
Well, they kicked her off Desperate Housewives, and I guess they kicked her off this. I didn't realize that Dynasty reboot was still on.
I didn't either.
And she's supposedly difficult to work with.
That's the word.
That's the word.
Okay. All right. Actually, one final story. Nathan Lane has joined the cast of Showtime's upcoming Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. What's Penny Dreadful about?
Well, if it's the horror series that I'm familiar with, I really enjoyed it. It was at times could be really slow, but they had everything from Frankenstein to Dracula, you know, done in a really dramatic way.
So it's been on for four seasons, or it had three seasons that started in 2014, then went away for a few years, Steve, and now it's back. So it hasn't been on since 2016, and now they're rebooting it, I guess.
Okay. Wow, that's kind of weird. So Timothy Dalton was in it, and then the actress, I think her name is Ashley Green. She was in Casino Royale with the big sort of...
Eva Green?
Eva Green.
Yeah.
The big omelet eyes. Here, Preston.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah,
she's beautiful.
I had never watched The Birdcage until this week, speaking of Nathan Lane. And, oh, my God, is that movie hilarious.
Is he not awesome
he
in that?
He is so good. I mean, everybody in that movie, Gene Hackman and Diane Weiss and Robin Williams, I just, for whatever reason, I completely missed it. And then I finally watched it. Yeah. And Nathan Lane is just unbelievably talented and funny.
Do you know it's a guilty pleasure, Nathan Lane, funny movie? The Mousetrap, is that it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that movie.
I'm sorry, that movie has a lot of
Mousetrap
funny
or
stuff.
Mouse Hunt?
Mouse Hunt, maybe.
I think it's Mouse Hunt.
Michael Hunt.
Michael Hunt.
And Matthew Broderick's in it, right?
I don't remember. You'll have to
look it up.
So anyhow, he is going to be
yes, you're right.
Playing a character. He's going to be an LAPD officer who partners with and mentors Tiago Vega on the show. So he will be a part of that. He was in Stuart Little.
Mouse Hunt.
And Mouse Hunt. Yes, yeah. You're correct. Michael Hunt. All right.
I was way off. I don't think Matthew Broderick's in that at all.
I think, no, Matthew, you're thinking Matthew McConaughey and Baby's Day Out.
No, Matthew Broderick is
the producers.
Lion King. And they were both in Lion King together.
And yeah. They're both in the producers together. Let's do the clips. The Netflix original Working Moms follows four new mothers as they navigate work, kids, and love life. And in this clip, Katherine Reitman talks about relatability of the show. Here we go.
Working mothers or stay-at-home mothers would agree on is that people stop looking at you like a person. They stop treating you like the person you studied to be in school and you spent your whole life becoming and developing. So that moment's really meant to be a battle cry at the identity crisis of motherhood.
Oh, mommy. Mommy. Mommy.
She's sisters with Jason Reitman, by the way. Daughter of Ivan Reitman. So Working Moms is streaming now, by the way.
We should go back to that way of identifying yourself, you know?
Oh, son of?
I am Steve, son of Gene.
Yeah, that's Game of Thrones is filled with that, by the way. Exactly. I'm Preston, son of color. Let's do the next clip. Oh, sorry. Turn down. Arctic. We just had Mads Mikkelsen on. Follows a man stranded after a plane crash as he decides to remain in his camp or embark on a possibly deadly trek. In this clip, director and writer Joe Penna talks about the process of getting the right people, like our friend Aaron Scotti, who was here in the studio, to see the right vision of his film. Here we go.
It was tough convincing people that this was a feature film, you know, because usually it's one page for a minute on a screenplay, and this was a 40, 50-page script at first, and people said, oh, this is a wonderful short film, good luck. We had to kind of put a lot of fluff in there. Eventually, we knew we needed to find the right producers and the right actor who was going to see this for what this was.
Yeah!
Antarctic is in theaters now. Go see it. That's what we have for you this morning in the Entertainment Report. We have several guests who will be on the show today. We're going to talk to comedian Mark Norman. He's going to be performing Helium Comedy Club. And we also have Ali Sadiq, who's going to be joining us, performing at Punchline. And our friends at Redstone are going to be here. We're going to do some giveaways with them.
How about that?
Eat some awesome food. But in the meantime, I got a case of beer to give away. Call number 15. Don't forget, February is all about bringing the love. And we're on the last day of February. The seductively smooth love stout from Yards Brewing Company is a perfect thing to bring to the ones you love. Love for Love Stout at the Liquor Mart in Bear, Delaware. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Did I say a number caller? Did I say 15? Yeah. All right. Very good. I need to remember these things. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to have our buddy Richard Curtis on to talk about the show Classroom on Fox 29 in a little while. We're going to have Mark Norman stopping by. Ali Sadiq will be here. So we have a few guests coming up. But in the meantime, something I was actually thinking about not too long ago, and the story that I'll bring up kind of reignited this thought I had in my head. You know, I sometimes feel that I take for granted the privilege of being able to drive.
Yes.
To have a driver's license and drive, because the reason I was thinking about it recently is, you remember a while back, my son's friend was over at our house and he had a seizure.
Yeah.
Like a full grand mal seizure.
Right.
Terrible. And he found out he has epilepsy, which we found out through that. And what I didn't realize is if you have something like that, you can't drive.
You're not allowed to drive. Yeah, of course. It makes sense.
There are certain benchmarks you have to hit. Like there has to be a certain amount of time where you haven't had a seizure and you have to go in and get tested and all this other stuff before you can be issued a driver's license. And I was like, wow, man, that's really, that's going to suck. This kid's 16 years old. He can't get a driver's license. And
it's sort of a big step in your life.
Yeah, yeah, and to be able to get around. And then I read this story the other day about Lizzie Hale, you know, from Hailstorm.
Yes.
She does not have a driver's license, and not because of any medical restrictions and not because of any type of issues with the law. She's just never gotten around to getting one. And it doesn't now she's in at a position in life where she's going to get driven around. She's, you know,
not, well, and it probably probably started young too, and that's why you just don't have to.
But yeah, when you, I mean, but honestly, the odds of you ending up in a scenario where, like, at 16 or 17, when you're getting your first couple of jobs, or maybe you get a job at a department store where you can be driven there and dropped off. She wasn't a rock star in her entire life in those part-time jobs with the parents always driving her.
I know
plenty of people in different situations. One, either they just never went, they're lazy, or they didn't feel like it. And then others that just always planned to move to the city and felt no need to have a car, so they didn't need a driver's license.
There's that, and there's also people that don't have enough money to own a car, and they'll take public transportation.
Sure.
Obviously, that's fine. You learn how
to
get
by. I'm thinking more suburban.
And then also, you have the people who drive anyway, and they don't have a license.
Yeah, but to have the ability and financial capability to be able to drive around, you've just chosen not to have a driver's license.
That's right.
Totally foreign.
You're sitting at home. How many times I'm sitting home? I want a Wawa coffee, or I want
And I wonder how many people are actually scared to drive a vehicle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because let's face it. Like, would you go out and get a pilot's license? I wouldn't, because I'm afraid I'd crash the damn thing. There might be people who feel that same way about vehicles.
I guarantee you there are people for that very reason. But I agree. A plane is a bridge too far for me. But a car seems such an essential.
Yeah. I'm wondering if anybody listening doesn't have a driver's license, if you've chosen not to get one, why is that? 215-263-WMMR.
So, Kathy, my best friend growing up was this guy named Dave, and he chose not to get one. And Dave was one of the hardest working, smartest people that I know. But he did it out of pure laziness. And it was because he could get rides from everybody else. And I think he had like his learner's permit and kept renewing it year after year. So he could be behind the wheel in an emergency, but he never got his license.
So if you just keep renewing your learner's permit,
is there a gray area? Some caveat, Steve, where like you could drive with other people that had a license if your parent was in the car. But Dave just relied on other people giving him rides, and he found comfort in that, and he also enjoyed getting away with it.
Well, Lizzie Hale had made the statement, I think you played the audio of her saying basically that she gets out of having to be that person who drives.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think after the excitement of being, you know, you're getting your driver's license or your learner's permit, after that, if it completely fades away, and then you just fall into not getting it and enjoying getting rides from other people.
Here's the quote from her. She says, there isn't even a really good reason. Over the years, there's certain things that just get lower and lower on the priority list, to the point that you just don't think about them anymore until maybe somebody says, well, hey, I've had too much to drink. Maybe you could drive. And I have to be like, I don't have a license and I'm not taking you home. So that's the only time that it really gets brought up, she says.
We had a weird neighborhood situation growing up. So we had Mrs. Perkowski, who lived up the block. She never drove. They moved out from the city. So we're now in the suburbs. She just got driven everywhere. My mother would always drive her to the supermarket. And then to the right of us, we had Mrs. Foley, who would never drive anywhere where she had to make a right turn.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Like a weird.
Yeah, what is that?
Wait. She wouldn't drive where she had to make a right turn?
She would leave her house, go down, so go make a left into the supermarket parking lot, make a left out of the supermarket parking lot, make a left, and come back home.
I would think you'd want to make right turns rather than left turns. Right? Are easier.
My cousin won't merge.
Won't merge?
Nope. She will take. She will not get on a highway. Like she says, I can't come to your house. I have to merge. You'll have to
get
come down
here.
Yeah. She won't merge.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was right. Right turn to press. Now that I think about that, that'd be the easier one.
Won't merge.
Won't merge.
What?
She won't merge.
I know people like that. It's like in the movie Clueless. What are you doing? You're getting on the freeway.
Hey, I don't like merging, but I know how to do it, I've learned how to do it. I had a merging issue this morning getting on the Blue Route, off of the Blue Route to 76. It happens almost every day, but, you know.
And listen, whatever. She'll stay in her area. She knows all of the roads where she lives, and she knows where she can go without having to merge.
But she's still driving. The notion of The notion of, like, I get impatient when people always say, well, we'll go together a lot of times. I'm like, I want my own car. I want to be able to leave when I need to leave, you know.
I love the freedom.
I love the freedom of that. Yeah. And I tend to get antsy or earlier, like dinners or something like that. So to not have that to me would be a real issue.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to some calls. I have Paul. We're going to start with, hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
So my grandfather's 67-year-old wife has never gotten a driver's license out of sheer laziness.
Okay.
And she has him, who he's 88. Has him drive her everywhere.
Yeah.
Doctor's appointments, grocery stores, and they live in Western PA, like in a rural area.
Yeah.
So it's not like everything's right around the area. So they have to drive like 10 miles to get groceries. And if she has a doctor appointment or something, he'll literally just sit in the car for two hours.
You say he's 88 and she's 67?
Yes.
Well, that's what he gets for robbing the cradle.
Hey, what does he think about that? You've probably asked him about it, right?
Yeah, and you can tell, like, he's really not a fan of it, but he deals with it. He kind of just drinks his instant coffee that he brings along.
The sex is so good.
And some Sanka and mixes a coffee and sits and reads the news.
All right.
I'll be dead soon.
Yeah. Well, he's 88. It gives him something to do, maybe.
Something to do. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. I guess it gets about
thanks, Paul.
That'd be daunting to be someone's basic chauffeur.
The chauffeur. Yeah.
You know, and I've done, when you're a kid and you first get your license, you want to be the chauffeur. Do you need to go anywhere? I'll take you. You know, that's the big thrill. But when you're trying to conduct your own life and work on all that stuff, and you're doing that scheduling Tetris, it's a pain in the ass.
By the way, Lizzie is from around the area.
Yeah.
I remember hearing demos of Hailstorm well before I was at David Ivory's studio doing voiceover work. He's like, you got to hear this girl. He's like, she's from around here, and he played her. I'm like, oh, my God, listen to that voice. So it stands to reason that we have some local people who know her. We have Ken on the line who did some sound for her when she was a teen. Hi, Ken. Good morning.
Hey, how are you, Preston?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Nothing, man. So, yeah, it's a little interesting tidbit about her. I was doing sound for her, like, when she was doing Loud and Lowful and stuff like that back in the day.
Yeah.
And her dad, I guess, was, like, their manager and was a bigwig somewhere in the record industry as far as, like, an A&R rep or something like that.
Okay. But
Dadinger.
He used to, like, chauffeur all them around. I mean, I remember doing sound for her. She was 15, 16 years old. And even at that point, we knew she was, you know, on the verge of making it.
Yeah. So Ken, you have a kid, obviously, then in this case where that's displaying an obvious talent. So they're going to let her, they're going to indulge her. What if, you know, she's getting a job at Target or whatever, and she's just doing the normal thing that most people do who aren't that naturally gifted?
Yeah.
It would be a pain in the ass to you know, you'd almost say, get a license, you know?
No, and I agree with you, but I think at that point she was just so well taken care of that
it was almost
like a secondary or tertiary kind of thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
So
it was
easy for her to just fall into the, hey, dad's taking me here, we're going to that place, we're going to this, we're going to record over there, we're going to meet with these people here, and I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Do you think there's the converse case where there's sort of parents or people who sort of dissuade their kids from getting licensed to keep
thanks,
like almost in a Beverly Goldberg way to sort of hold some sway and control
maybe over them? And there's also, and as a parent of teenagers, there's also an innate fear of a 16-year-old driving around.
Yeah,
even though you did it yourself, it's pretty wild. You know, I'm teaching my youngest son how to drive right now. And I'm okay with Parker, my 18-year-old. He's learned. He's good to go. He's had a couple of years under his belt. I don't think about it
anymore. Is he a good driver?
He's a good driver. Yeah. But now with Carter, I don't know if I'm ready for you to go driving on your own or not. And he's a good driver, but I'm still, tiny mistakes.
My son is 12, and the other day he said, I'm already starting to get nervous about driving. I was like, dude, you got 4 years, but I'm also nervous because I don't want you ever behind the wheel. But you 16 now, looking back on it, way too young.
Do you want to entice him? Just play him the clip of you screaming, "Wee!" Guess what I get to do?
Yeah, eventually, buddy.
Yep.
Wee! Guess what I get to do?
He'll know the joy of doing donuts in freshly fallen snow.
Driving is fun. Let me go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Sharon?
I didn't get my driver's license till I was 26 years old.
Wow, why'd you wait so long?
My mom never had her driver's license, and everybody chauffeured her around. So
looked pretty good to me.
Yeah, oh. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in a small town. My first job, I could take the bus to my job back and forth. Actually, my niece and nephew both had their license before I did.
Okay.
If you can riff and you're in the city or you're near public transportation, you get adept at using that, then that's fine. You can do that. I think, like, it's funny sometimes when you do a Google Maps search and you're saying, okay, how long to drive to here? And then you'll see the little icon of the mass transit and you click on that. And your half-hour drive becomes an hour and a half to get to where you're going. I'm like, oh, man, I don't think I could put up with that.
So you eventually, what made you end up getting your license, Sharon?
My niece left me at my job for 3 hours after I got off shift.
Ugh. And that's all you needed. That to me is...
Yes, that is.
It's like when you...
And then when I got my license, I was like, what the heck was I scared of?
There you go, right?
So freeing. I can't even believe that I was scared.
Yeah, but look at it. Is it just a nice surprise late into your 20s? A little bonus in life.
And you enjoy it, so that's good.
All right, thanks, Sharon. I appreciate it. I wonder about people who take mass transit all the time. Some people do it out of convenience, so they're not fighting traffic and all that stuff.
That's totally fine. I think it's a great thing if you can swing it.
And people who ride buses, I wonder if, because I would imagine you see the same people day in and day out when you're doing that. I wonder if you've... seen somebody for years and years and years and never once spoke to them.
But now they noticed you were looking at me.
Yes. never made an official connection because it could be, somebody you could be friends with. You see them all the time.
The kids within the Philadelphia city limits use the mass transit as their school buses.
Yeah.
So, you're going to, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
And it's pretty wild to hear people are afraid to drive because I actually have more of a fear of being a passenger than I do. I would prefer to be behind the wheel of a car.
Do you, if you're sitting in the passenger side of a car, does your brake foot go out or
I'm always looking around at, especially when you're going through intersections and stuff like that. So like when we drove up Mount Washington, my wife was like, very uneasy because she didn't have control of the car.
Yeah.
And I did, and there are no guardrails and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
my wife's very, very cautious, kind of old lady driver. And so when I'm a passenger, I have a little pretend accelerator that I that I will. Come on.
Hey, yeah, let's go. Let's go.
A little bit more. Yeah, you can go a little bit faster. Come on!
Let's see. I will go to Jess as to why she doesn't have a license. Hi, Jess. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. How old are you, Jess, if you don't mind me asking?
32.
And you don't have a driver's license?
I do not.
Why not?
I am very scared of driving. Get very bad anxiety. Just even thinking about it right now.
And this has been since you were a teenager?
Yeah.
Did you go through the machinations of taking a, of trying to learn and getting your learner's permit and all that stuff?
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, more and more lately I've been thinking about it because it's, kind of becoming an issue. But,
I'll tell you this, honestly, if you are very nervous, then it's probably good that you really come in incrementally. A good driver's school. We'll help you get past that because if you're out on the street and we're driving with you and you're freaking out, then that's going to be bad for everyone else. But I mean, ultimately, I think you'll hear what Sharon was saying. She was not a fan of the concept. Once she started doing it, she realized, look what I've been missing.
Jess, where do you live? Do you live in the suburbs?
No, I'm in Northeast Philly.
Okay.
I don't know how you get away with it.
It's not like, the mass transit there is all that great. I mean, you have
just buses,
the
right?
The buses, right?
Yeah. There's not a lot of train lines,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are there a lot of train lines are there train lines near you, Jess?
Not really. It's more like SEPTA buses.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So has Uber, has that made an impact on you? Do you end up using stuff like that a lot?
Not lately, no. I did a lot when I was younger.
Okay.
Do you ever wish that you did have a license?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You said it's starting to impact you now. How is it impacting?
Well, I have a daughter. And,
okay.
She's in school, so when we move, so her school's a little bit further. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just being able to get out and do things on my own.
Sure. And do you drive sometimes, if you have to?
Nope, never have.
Okay. Mm.
Doesn't have a license at all.
So. Well, yeah. I know, but they, that doesn't stop them. Like, tons of people. That's what I was saying before. But yeah, like if they have to, they'll jump in a car anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think if it was like an emergency, I would do it, but I've never.
I guess an emergency, yeah. But just like, I'll drive today. I would never, ever recommend that. Not that you may not be capable of driving, but if for some chance a little bitty accident happens and you don't have a license, man, you just get in a world of trouble.
World of hurt. Well, Preston, remember that guy? You reported the story about the guy who actually stole a plane and tried to fly to a rap concert.
That's right.
He doesn't have a pilot's license.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
He figured it out.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Pat Schmidt? We used to work with him at Y100, yeah. And I used to have to drive him to get his car serviced, right? So, and he hated being a passenger.
Yeah.
Hated it. And he's like my mom. My mom, when she rides in the front seat of the car, it's almost like there is no windshield. She will not look out any of the windows. Like, she has really? More anxiety. Wow. Yes.
Who does?
My mom and Pat Schmidt. They
won't
like,
look out the window?
No, they won't do it.
Where do they look? Like, read a book or something?
Read a book, look at the dashboard.
The ceiling of the car.
The ceiling of the car.
I'd get motion sickness if I did that.
Yeah.
Here's a text. I love this. My mother-in-law never later in life went to get her license. She couldn't figure out, or I'm sorry, it says never. Anyhow, she couldn't figure out the computer to answer the questions for the license, so she gave up.
So that when you sit there and you do the computer answers as you're doing your permit test, you couldn't figure that out. Yeah. Well, if you can't do that, it's probably best you're not sitting behind the wheel.
Yeah. My son, my youngest son, Carter, is going through the online process of there's a driver's safety course that he's taking, and it's taken him forever to get through it. There's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions on
right.
this. Mm-hmm. He's like he's been working on it for months. He's only 90% done with it. And then when he's done with that, then he's going to take a driving course, which the driving instructor will actually test him for the driver's license.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So somebody you're familiar with is going to test you as opposed to, you know, some officer or whoever gets in and you don't know who they are and you're really nervous and you're not, you know, you're not really paying attention.
I don't know what sort of certifications they have to go through because a friend of mine does that. It's kind of like the side job that he does for the high school that he works at.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times like high school teachers are like, yeah, I'll coach track, or whatever.
You don't teach driver's ed.
So he's teaching driver's ed there.
Do you have to have some sort of special certification?
I would hope so.
I run the AV department. I can teach driving.
Yeah. I do not know. Let me go to...
Cafeteria lady.
Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
You guys rock.
Thanks, Jason. What's up, man?
I am 41 years old. I have never had a driver's license.
All right. And this is by choice?
This is by choice.
All right. What's your reasoning behind that?
Because there is so much asshattery on the road. I cannot trust anybody else behind the wheel.
Can't argue with that.
So what do you do for a living? How do you work from home or how do you get about?
I'm an independent contractor.
And so how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do I do that? I meet other guys for, you know, my fiance drives, so that's how I get where I need to go.
You don't have like a truck or anything like that with a bunch of stuff on it that has to get to the job sites?
You mail it.
That's funny. No, actually, there's another guy, independent contractor in my neighborhood. You know, he lives around the block from me, picks me up, we go to the job site.
All right. So
where are you from?
Yeah, 41 years old.
No, where are you from, Jason?
Oh, I'm sorry. Pennsauken, New Jersey.
All right, so you've known this guy is it just the same guy over the past couple of decades that you've worked with, or have you hooked up with other guys who have just driven you to the job site and back?
Exactly.
All right.
Like, whenever I've needed a ride, I've always managed to procure one.
Okay,
and Jason, does your fiance ever complain about having to drive you around everywhere?
All the time.
There you go.
I'm a smoker. It's like, babe, go get me a pack of smoke. She's like, you're coming with me.
She's got to get up and go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Jason, you're absolutely required.
You're a burden.
Yeah, that's a bit of a burden.
You are a big-time burden.
Uh-huh. Do you think you'll ever, you're 41, you've gotten by in life without it, do you think you'll ever get one?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe once, like, Back to the Future hover cars are invented.
All right.
Yeah, that seems safer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why don't you set up something like you won't get your license until all gay drivers can be married or something?
All right. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Good luck to you. Let me see here. I will go next. There's a lot of really good calls here. I'm going to go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Michelle?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. So you waited a long time to get your license.
I did. I did. I was terrified. Terrified. Like, I would have nightmares about hitting telephone poles. And the second I would, like, think about it, okay, I can do it, I can do it. Like, I would just tense up and go into a panic. And I just learned to live my life without it.
At what age did you finally cave and get one?
30. I was 30 years old.
Okay. And how long have you been driving now?
5. And I, like, cannot picture life without driving.
How long have you been driving?
What's that?
How long have you been driving now? You say you got your license at 30?
Yep. I'm 35. So it's been 5 years.
Okay.
And, you know.
So, you know, it's funny when you stop and think about it, though, and Michelle, you know, you think about when you're taking your driver's, your test, and you're learning, and you think about the momentum of the car and the wheel and so on and so forth, and it is a little daunting. Now the things that I used to be, you have little flashbacks of the times you were mortified about passing between two cars, or I'm going to knock the side view off, driving next to a truck, which is still an uncomfortable thing.
Uh-huh.
But now there are things that start to just happen. You almost like muscle memory and instinctively the way you respond. And that's how you become a driver. But it's one of those things, as with so many things in life, it's you only get good at it by doing it. And I'm sure now at this point that you're at, you're a competent, good driver, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I was in a car with my friend and she was flying all over the road, not looking. And I'm like, these are the people I'm relying on, but I'm afraid of myself.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
And then now with all the driver's assist and lane guidance and all that stuff, it's actually easier than ever to drive safely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
And really, like, just paying attention, looking at the road, and, like, I just literally had to give my fears away. And you know, it's so freeing. So my advice to anybody who's afraid of it, I was so held back in life.
There you go. You have some sage advice.
Nice.
That's cool.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate it. Steve, you're right about all those safety systems on cars now. The automatic braking, collision braking has been great. Mine won't come to a dead stop, but if it feels that I'm coming up on something too quickly, it will slow down and you'll feel pressure on the accelerator immediately. And you know, oh, God. And it'll beep. And so it has saved me probably from minor little fender benders on more than one or two occasions.
So in the Volvo, they have this autonomous level 3. So if you touch the wheel, you know, you want to make sure you're there. But if you're in stop and start traffic or rush hour traffic, you know, a lot of times there's rear end collisions. The car will take over and just, you have to actively want to rear end somebody or get into a situation now. And then with the lane assist, where you start, if you start to veer off, it taps the wheel back and it guides you back into the lane.
Yep, my car does that too. It's great.
On Wednesday when it was snowing out, I was driving home and I don't have a driver assist, but I think maybe Jesus is behind the wheel at one point because there was a car that had to stop and it started swerving into my lane. So their brakes had locked and they swerved into my lane. And then I had to put my brakes on and my car started swerving as well. And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but there was only enough room between that car and the guardrail for my car to get through. Jesus took us right through.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
That guy was a stunt driver. A lot of people don't know.
Let me ask you something. When you were learning to drive, what was the big fear? What was the thing that you just made you home? You break into
76.
A cold sweat when you had to do. So highway traffic was your big terror.
Specifically the left lane of 76.
Okay.
Before taking the test, parallel parking.
Parallel parking. Yep.
That was mine too. I was never scared to get into a car and drive, and I wasn't really scared of parallel parking, but like I practiced it so that when I went for the test, I would pass it.
We didn't have parallel parking when we took the test.
I know some people who did not have to do parallel parking. Now the car will parallel park for you.
Yeah.
My son's going to have to do it. Parker did. So
now I'm damn good at it. Preston, was it you and I who did the Hoagie Day thing down at Independence Mall last year?
Yeah.
I parallel parked in such a tight little spot that I stood next to my car for like a couple of minutes afterwards.
Because you were so proud.
I was so proud. Yeah. I go, guys, check this out. Look at this.
When you nail it without a mechanical assist, it's a beautiful thing.
There was a time I had an apartment in the city and I got really good at it. I could squeeze in a tiny little space. I can still do it, obviously, but I used to be really, really good at it, and I was pretty proud of it.
Go ahead.
No, when my brother Christopher, he had like just a, you know, crappy old car. He was going to temple in the city. He
bang, right?
I'm like, I was in the car the whole time. Like, you're hitting the other cars. It's nothing. It's just like little bumper cars.
I was walking down South Street one time with this friend of mine, Brian, and we see a car doing that. He goes, bang, 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 pulls in, walk up. New York license plate. It's like, yep, New Yorker.
Park.
Yep.
That's a great scene in the movie. I think it's Bananas, where Woody Allen's walking down the street and the guy's backing in and he goes, you know, parallel parking. He goes, yeah, keep going, keep going, keep going. Perfect.
That's how my grandmother taught my father to parallel park. You back up until you hit the other car.
Yeah.
So then when my dad went for his driver's license test, he's like, all right, I got it. And the guy was like,
serious?
Yes. Yeah. He's in the, and he's like, no, this is how my mom taught me how to drive. That's the same grandmother that talked about the cassette player in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with the assist. So if you do the ones, and again, the Volvo has the parallel parking assist. You have to, I will park in much tighter conditions than a lot of, than the autonomous systems will let you park in. They're going to give you a nice buffer.
Oh, I can squeeze into a small spot.
Looking at the video of the Woody Allen movie. What movie is that?
It's Bananas.
That's great. Good. He just, slams into the car.
He's helping him out.
You know, but back in the day with those bumpers, you know, like now your bumpers are basically fiberglass, you know?
Yeah, they're
not bumpers anymore.
Well, you don't necessarily leave marks like you would on a bumper like that.
And also you can trip the security system, you know, when the motion system will activate the alarm.
Oh, yeah. So you know before you're going to bang into it. Usually there's a little beep, so... interesting. Well, listen, I thought those were, I thought that was worth bringing up. Lizzie Hale had no idea, never had a driver's license. And she said it's just kind of never got around to it. And as life went on, it became less and less of a priority. She's in a different, world. Obviously, yes. She gets chauffeured around a lot. I remember seeing a documentary about the police, and Stuart Copeland goes, he was narrating, goes, and at this time I realized I hadn't driven a car in 4 years. It's just because he was being shuttled around all over the place.
Look at Prince Philip. You know, he just got into he still wanted to drive and got into that accident. Like,
exactly.
Time's up, dude.
I bring tidings. I bring good tidings, folks. Redstone American Grill is here.
Yay!
They have arrived, and they brought with them, from what I understand, mini banana cream pie. See, I've been wanting banana cream pie.
Me really? Really?
Yes.
Uh-oh, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I feel like today should be an exception.
Well, I did hit my goal weight today.
Oh, then you're good. Have five.
Oh, and then tomorrow you won't be at your goal weight.
But they brought breakfast sliders, applewood smoked bacon, some bourbon, cornbread. Their cornbread's phenomenal. I will take caller number 15 and give you a $50 Redstone gift card, 215-263-WMMR. They are officially reopened after their fire in Plymouth meeting. And they want to thank you for your support, and they want you to come and join them for lunch or dinner.
Awesome.
Reservations at redstonegrill.com. Caller number 15, 215-263-WMMR. Going to take care of you. We'll break. We'll be back in just a moment. Bizarre File stories are up next. Stay with us.
Preston at 93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Dave Joyce. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Dave Joyce, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
You know, before we go to the Bizarre File, we're going to get our guest on because he's at work right now, and we need to talk to him. So I'm very excited about the fact that his game show on Fox 29 is moving to a more prime spot in the day.
I actually started to watch it. They bumped it over there for a little test run. Yeah. I forget, during one of the, maybe around the holidays.
Yep.
And I got to see a lot of it. Really like it.
Not only a show host, but a school teacher as well. So let's welcome the host of Classroom on Fox 29, our friend Mr. Richard Curtis.
Hey, what's up? You guys want to talk about the Classroom? They brought me on to talk about the Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper being in love thing.
You got the scoop,
yeah,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah, man, I have no idea why I'm here, I guess. Yo, nah. Thanks for having me, man. This is awesome.
Of course. So the show has been running at noon on Fox 29, but that was kind of, I guess, the test slot and see how that was accepted, and things are going well, right?
Yeah, man, we started at noon, which is perfect because I've never seen the show, actually. I think it's cool, but it's tough being at work all the time. But, yeah, so we cut the chops a little bit at noon, and the powers that be believe in this thing a lot, and they're moving it to 6:30, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
Because now you get to cook a little dinner and yell at the TV to, you know, prove that you're smarter than the rest of your family, which will be so fun.
So we got into the groove, my wife and I. We were watching, and it was, I mean, now listen, I know it's on another network, but we would watch Classroom into Jeopardy. So, you know, I mean, you can also stay with Fox. Obviously, that's a perfectly good option. But it's a good primer, and we actually enjoyed it. It's a nice hour's worth of trivia, but it starts off with you guys. And I enjoy the construct of the show. I wasn't really getting to see it regularly at its 12 o'clock slot. But we had talked about this, Richard, that this might be a possibility. So glad to hear it passed muster, and you're good to go now.
Yeah, well, I remember coming in there the first time when we first kind of debuted, and we were just chatting around. It was kind of like, man, this would be awesome if after school,
yeah,
you know, the kids and teachers that are actually on the show can actually see this. And now we're going to get the opportunity, and that's what's so cool, right? Every time you have those next set of viewers, they're going to get to see this. Someone else is going to get exposed to the show, which would be so much fun.
So the trivia questions, the general knowledge questions, the questions that are skewed, so you have the students squaring off against their teachers, and yeah, there's enough there pop culture-wise that caters to their age demo and to the teacher's demo to make it fair. There are things like a segment where you're put in detention for a little bit, and there's different conceits throughout the game that I think are pretty cool and very school-related. But as far as the quality of the general knowledge questions, it's really solid. Who puts those together?
Well, we have an A-plus team that kind of sits back, and just all they do is just come up with questions, man.
Yeah.
And what's important is, it's got a little bit of something for everybody. Now, I do not claim to be the smartest person in the world, okay? Now, for me to be able to watch this show and actually know answers makes it 1,000 times more fun.
Yes.
You're like, whoa, I actually knew that.
Right.
So to play along, guys, like, it's just a blast. And now putting it at this time, you can make the dinner, sit down with the kids and have a little bit of family time. And how cool is that, right?
It's awesome. Are you now, eventually, Richard, there's only so many high schools in and around the area. Are you guys going to be going back to some schools occasionally when you have so many shows under your belt, but maybe bring other teachers on board to play the game?
Well, it's not only just high schools, it's middle schools. And okay. Yeah, we have some schools that have already been on twice, but I mean, we're booked up already in the season two, which is crazy.
Nice.
Casey,
how cool is this?
I was going to tell Casey real quick, Richard. I don't know if you know, but the O'Hara, the students beat the teachers.
Yeah, I believe it.
Which, oh. You believe it?
I mean, because the students are so smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a
wonderful
curriculum. Yeah. Man, teachers can't lose, because even if your students beat you, you'd be like, guys, who do you think taught them that?
Yes, right, it's a win-win.
So what were you going to bring up? I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Richard.
I actually have no idea.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Is there a point at which it might, you know, obviously you can go through various iterations, and since it's school-based, is there a chance you might occasionally flirt with the college students?
Well, that's obviously been talked about. Not only that, but how cool would it be to see the fire versus the police, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had on Tuesday, this is where I was going, Preston, Tuesday, okay, huge episode, the Good Day staff. You got Mike Jerick versus Alex Hawley morning. You got Karen. You got Karen and Sue Stereo on there. Steve Keeley. Like, it's going to be great, man. Thomas Drayton. Boys versus girls. Who's smarter? Well, you got to tune in on Tuesday to find out.
So you can do different iterations like that. It won't always necessarily be just straight up high school or junior high.
Nope, could be anything. And
all
I
right,
think that's awesome. Let's leave it open ended. You know,
awesome.
Richard, we will do that in a heartbeat.
Yes.
If you want to make your way around to the world of radio, we would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, man, you guys rock. Honestly, I wrote it down last night. I was like, get them on the show. Right.
If you need to bring on a team that you want to make feel good by having them guaranteed win,
yeah,
just pair them against us.
Uh-huh.
Like people who've gone through surgery or something, or have some sort of hardships in their life, have them square up against us, and they'll absolutely win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make him feel good.
No deal, man. Yeah.
All right.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, man. I'm pumped to get you out there. I love jumping on the show here and being a part of what you guys do.
All right.
You got a big weekend ahead, man. Classic coming up.
Yeah. Tomorrow with Jen Frederick's going to be out there.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun. So we're getting set for that. Hey, listen, real quick. So weekdays at 6:30. This is Monday through Friday, the show, and it's happening right now. Or no, March 4th.
Box 29 starts Monday of next week,
okay.
6:30 time slot. You can join us, man, and I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Awesome. Cool. Excellent. All right, well, good luck. Congratulations.
Awesome.
All that stuff, Richard. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Hey, Preston, by the way, I've seen Parker drive.
Yeah.
Not that bad. I'd give him an 8.
Oh, yeah. Thought so. I've done good. All right, thank you, Richard Curtis. There you go.
Take care, bud.
That's awesome. He's at school. He's at Souderton right now. He's got a teacher day. But it's a fun show. It's I love trivia shows.
I couldn't watch it. You know, obviously we're here. We're not available to sit down and watch the show. But once they started, I think it was probably during the holidays, Christmas, they bumped it down into that 6:30 slot as sort of a test. Mm-hmm. Right now there's a thing that runs that's called Page 6. It's like a gossip show.
Okay.
And they're obviously bumping that out and moving this in.
Dennis's school is going to be on his show.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know when, but
awesome.
Yeah. William Tennant High School.
Is Dennis going to be on it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We don't talk.
All right. I got some B-File stories. If you don't mind, we're going to get those going now.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning brought to you by Robbins Diamonds, a tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, I showed Casey this yesterday. Shocking footage shows a teenager falling through a skylight at a school gymnasium as a wrestling tournament was taking
place. Yeah.
And normally I think it's hilarious seeing people fall through, you know, drop ceilings and stuff like this. This was a gym, so the really, really high ceilings
are
about 40 feet up.
Jesus.
Children were competing in one of the final matches of the tournament at Buchholz High School in Florida when a young man came tumbling down through the high ceiling of the gym in the video. Cracking can be heard as kids compete on the mat, and then the 19-year-old falls 40 feet to the ground. Seconds later, he landed on the mat, which I imagine helped him a tiny bit. Police said the teenager was among 8 teens who were trespassing at the school when one of them threw a cell phone onto the gym's roof. One man walked across the skylight and fell right through. Sharon Gonzalez, whose son was competing, witnessed the incident, recorded it on her cell phone. She said, we just started hearing some cracking sounds. A couple people thought that it sounded like gunshots. I didn't think that, but all of a sudden you just see this boy fall from the ceiling and through the skylight. She said that an ambulance and police were called, and she stayed at the scene to make sure that rescue workers could see her video in case it helped with the treatment.
Right, right.
She said a friend of hers who was a paramedic tried to help, but she could see from the way that he had a bulge on his back that his back was probably broken. There was another person on the roof looking down through the hole after it happened. The grandmother of the boy who fell said his name was Chad and that he broke several bones. He had to undergo a 6-hour surgery and still bedbound and alert and talking, though he'll be discharged in a couple of
days. To be honest, it's amazing he's alive.
Yeah, most 40 feet.
Yeah, it's weird to say he's fortunate, but he was.
Yeah. A driver managed to rack up about $1,000 in traffic fines Monday afternoon with 2 speeding tickets in 11 minutes.
2 speeding tickets in 11 minutes?
Yeah, and he was hauling ass. The California Highway Patrol first stopped the driver of a Nissan Altima at about 12:30 p.m. For traveling 90-plus miles per hour. The same car was pulled over at 12:41 p.m., 11 minutes later, going 103 miles per hour.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. He didn't learn his lesson.
Is he going to lose his license?
And they didn't indicate. They said,
Preston, it was a flip-flop sale at Ross.
Oh, he had to get there, man. No, listen, the CHP tells drivers to slow down after handing out speeding tickets, not speed up. The tickets probably cost the guy $400 to $500 a piece. Yeah, no word on, like, points and things and driver suspension or anything along those lines.
All right, you can leave now, but I better see you peel out.
If you are looking for a unique brunch, this is it. The Book Club Restaurant in East London is serving up a menstruation-themed menu.
Nice.
For the Big Bloody Brunch event.
Sounds great.
The menu includes red velvet period pancakes, tampon-shaped macaroons.
Oh, that's
dumb. Why?
And Bloody Marys. The event came to life after research conducted by Big Bloody Brunch charity showed half of people described periods as unpleasant or disgusting, but that 69% of the people said that they wish that we felt more comfortable about them.
See, I would go to a brunch where it was like comfort foods for when you're PMSing or you do have your period and something, but I don't need a tampon shaped whatever.
Yeah.
You should check out their bloody hemorrhoid brunch. That's awesome.
The bleeding hemorrhoid brunch.
Yeah.
The aim of the brunch is to destigmatize conversations around periods.
It's to get a conversation started. So here's your vagina-shaped pancakes. The conversation has started. Yeah, it's about your stupid pancakes.
As well as raise money for the period poverty charity. Free speech is very important, especially if your business has a name that some might take offense to. Take, for example, Handjob Salon in Perkins Township, Ohio.
Sorry, that's a great name.
The town's zoning director, Megan Sherlin, said that there have been complaints about the salon, adding that officials are looking into whether the sign can be considered obscene.
Yeah, I'd like to come in for a haircut.
Now, the owner, Dawn Moon, said if you go and you get your nose done, it's called a nose job, right? Well, if you're coming in to get your hands done, it's a hand job. So it's they do manicures. She added that she'll go to court to fight any attempts to make her change or remove the sign. So
do they do rims, Preston?
She's standing by. Yeah, maybe.
That's great.
Like a tire plate?
Yeah, yeah. Like a tire. Yeah, rim jobs.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I love it. I love it. There is a, like, camel towing and stuff like that. Sure. I love that.
Have some fun with it for crying out loud.
Yep. The kayak killer is back in the water. A woman named Angelika Groswald. I've talked about her in the Bizarre File before. She's the Latvian woman who admitted to letting her fiancé drown in the Hudson River after pulling the drain plug from his kayak.
Yes.
She says in a new interview that she's out paddling again while on parole. In a profile for Elle magazine, which includes a bizarre photo shoot featuring Groswald underwater in her bathtub, the 39-year-old ex-con says that she has been living, working, and kayaking at a church camp in upstate Orange County near where her husband-to-be died.
So she's become like a little celebrity after killing her husband.
And she says she has no regret. She said, I don't regret what happened. I don't think what if anymore.
I didn't like him.
Well, she became a born-again Christian in prison.
Okay, there you go.
So it's all good
now. All good now.
That's the beauty of being a Christian, she said. You know, you have a bright...
Clean the slate. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch when you shake it.
You have a bright future. She was convicted of criminally negligent homicide in the death of Vincent Villafore in 2017 and a sweetheart plea deal that saw her spend just 2.5 years behind bars, including time served. She tearfully admitted to the court that she pulled the plug from Viafore's boat before watching him drown as his kayak had capsized during a booze-fueled boating trip.
It's clear you killed him, but I got to tell you, you are adorable.
She had previously maintained her innocence despite telling police in an 11-hour interrogation that she was euphoric about his death. So, and then I had more to the story, but I lost the second page.
That tends to undermine the sense of loss when you're euphoric about someone's death.
It does. When Maria Boxall found a snake in her luggage following a holiday in Australia, she thought it had been placed there by a member of her family. She thought it was fake. But the Scottish grandmother quickly realized that it was not a practical joke. When she touched it, it moved.
It's a real freaking snake.
She had...
Well, she's Scottish, right?
She is. Yeah, yeah. She had inadvertently transported the reptile in her suitcase on a flight from Queensland.
So there it was, bumping him up a weird piece of luggage. And what I see? A freaking snake!
Miss Boxall only discovered it hiding in a shoe, complete with shed skin, as she unpacked her at her home.
It was shedding its skin in her luggage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting. Right next to my favorite dildo.
Wow.
I don't get as much as I used to in my prime.
I guess so, Grandma. The snake was taken outside in the shoe.
Yeah, hi to you, too.
And the shoe, and contained by a relative until Scottish SPCA staff arrived. It turned out to be a python.
And where was this again, Preston?
Well, she was coming from Australia.
Of course.
Mrs. Boxall's son-in-law, Paul, said that she had mentioned thinking that she had seen a snake in her room over there before, but she...
You know what? I think I've seen a python in my room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is thought the snake may be given to a zoo after it passes quarantine, so they'll do that. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. All right. Oh, I have this. I have Creed 2 on Blu-ray to give away. Yeah, caller number 12.
We'll still have to see that.
Me too.
Me too, yeah. 215-263-WMMR. Car right now. The legacy of Apollo Creed continues in Creed 2, starring, of course, Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone.
Own it.
What?
You get it.
Own it March 5th. On Blu-ray or own the digital movie right now. So we'll take caller 12 and set you up. 215-263-WMMR. More giveaways coming up. I haven't even done the movie screening passes yet for Captain Marvel, which we'll do. More passes or gift cards from our friends at Redstone. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
Guess what? We have 10 passes to the Captain Marvel screening just for you podcasters. So if you would like to go to our advanced screening on March 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Regal Warrington, then please email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com right now for your chance to win. Good luck, podcasters, and thanks for listening.
Please welcome Mark Norman
to
the show.
Hey, good to be here. Nice. See, they talk about radio being dead. Podcast, they don't have food.
Yeah, exactly.
No food in podcasting.
This is good stuff.
Thanks, man.
I haven't eaten meat in 3 years. I just gave it up.
Really? You just gave up your veganism?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'll be gay next. This is good stuff.
Yeah. Let's see how it turns out.
We don't have any gay menu items coming up. I don't know.
I think Gilboss is coming out.
There you go.
How you been, man?
Good. Good to be back. I love it here. I've been great. Just doing the road like crazy. I bought an apartment.
Really?
Yeah. I'm Muslim now. I'm all different.
You're Muslim now. Up in New York, you have a lot of life changes.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You bought an apartment in New York. What part of New York do you live in?
West Village.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Any money left over?
No. I'm broke. I'll be taking some
food
home.
Yeah.
But I live in my favorite neighborhood, the West Village. It's a gay area. The gay pride parade actually goes right by my house every day. And
it is intensely gay.
Oh yeah.
And that town, that area knows how to party.
Yes.
When there are parades, they bring it.
Oh, yeah. The bars close at 4, and the gay guys aren't shy about, you know, PDA. So if you're into that, you can really just pull up a lawn chair and take it.
And they don't mind?
No, they love it.
There we go.
I kind of feel like a hot lady for the first time in my life, because I am getting catcalled quite a bit. The things they say are horrifically sexual and inappropriate.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm into it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. I think you ladies need to cool it a little bit with the, I'm offended. Come on, it's flattering.
Maybe tamp down that Me Too stuff a little
bit. Yeah, like these guys could pin me down and choke me all day long, but I'm fine with it. It's a joke.
It's what you like.
Yeah, I like it a little rough.
I'll tell you one thing. It's funny because when you go, there's the part of L.A., I guess, where there's, it's the gay community.
West Hollywood.
All the dudes are super buff.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And tan. And it's like, it seems like we're missing out. We're not enjoying life as much.
That's true.
Yeah.
We had a former coworker who was gay and is in a committed relationship for years and years, but he would post pictures on like Facebook when he and his husband would have these parties. And it was like a bodybuilder competition at these. It was crazy. Yeah. Like all these buff dudes in Speedos outside of the pool. I'm like, all right.
And they look like they're having fun.
Yeah. You would not. You're a bear.
Right?
Yeah.
Big fat bear.
I'm a twink. I think we could all go around. You're what? A meerkat?
In between a bear and a twink.
All right. You're a twer.
Yeah. A twer.
Yeah. But they get after
it.
I think they're so happy because they can't have kids.
Yeah,
that's what
brings you down.
Yes.
The kids kill it.
Because we're all worried about the biological clock, and is my kid going to be, a little scrambled if I get too old? But they don't have to worry about that. Also, they ruined themselves with the marriage thing. That was a mistake.
You think so?
They shouldn't have done that.
Extracting the joy from life.
Yeah, I know I'm all about equality, and I'm all for gay marriage, but I don't know what they were thinking. That and the military. Like, hey, you guys are sitting pretty. You want to get married and join the military? What, are you crazy?
Where's your life relationship-wise right now?
I'm actually seeing a gal. She's nice, in a wheelchair, so she can't get away. But no. It's a walker. But
it's a walker.
She's, I got a nice, lovely dame. Met her at a comedy show, and the rest is...
Your show?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there you go. You see, that's proof.
Well, she is lovely.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should see her penis. But, all right. Jesus.
Let me ask you a quick question, Mark. Why did you hashtag in this photo of you and your girlfriend, hashtag abortion?
Oh, good
well,
Lord.
You got to keep it some fun. You know, I can't just be this mushy douche all day long, you know?
So you just threw that in.
Yeah.
You figured abortion would keep it as a little bit volatile.
Yeah, and I'm pro-abortion, and, you know, why not cause awareness?
Wow.
Oh, good God.
So she came to your show. Now, you obviously, you have we love it, your quirky sense of humor, but did she... Was she coming to see you specifically?
No, I have no fans.
Okay, so I have no fans.
She just came to a show, and she was actually on a date.
What? And you stole some dude's date.
Yeah, she was on some Tinder nonsense, and I had a good set, and that was it.
All right, did she approach you after the set?
She messaged me, and she commented or quoted one of my jokes in her message.
Which joke was it?
Something about abortion, I believe.
There we go. Hashtag abortion.
So okay. It all comes back.
I would disagree with you about you not having any fans. I'm a big fan of yours, Mark.
Oh,
I told you that off
special
air.
Special needs.
I'm going to tell you on air. I don't... your jokes are funny. Your delivery is very unique. There aren't many people. I don't think there's anybody else out there that's like you, and I love your style.
Wow, hey, that means a lot. If I could take a compliment, I would appreciate it.
You would appreciate it, but you can't.
I can't. I'm so dead inside. It's a steel trap in here. But I thank you, buddy. You're a good Lord. God bless you, and praise Allah.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, being in a relationship is fun. I'd say the time you save not chasing gash is a whole different lifestyle, you know? It's wild.
Were you quite a gash hound before?
Oh, I mean, a hatchet wound. I was all over it. It was a problem. I couldn't stop. I was addicted.
And this broke the addiction?
Yeah, well, I was in a 12-year relationship, mind you. I was in a high school sweetheart situation.
Oh, wow.
We moved to New York together. I'd started doing comedy. It fizzled. 12 years. So I got out of that, and I would just went on a rampage.
All right. So in a 12-year relationship from high school, straight out of there, when did it start deteriorating, and how many years did that take?
It was ugly. It probably should have ended at year 7 or 8.
Oh, so you really hung on. You beat that dead horse.
Oh, yeah. She was a horse. But, but yeah, like we lived in a tiny apartment in New York. We're poor. I'm trying to be a comedian. I was a janitor at the time. She's trying to be a graphic designer. So she's sitting at home all day just drawing. And we hated each other. But
it's convenience. Yeah, and it's also, you almost develop the Stockholm syndrome where you're like,
yes,
you're a prisoner, but you don't realize it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just the idea of being alone after that is so terrifying. Like, you have a partner, her family knew my family. It was it was too much.
You're too firmly entrenched.
Yes.
So you said janitor. I automatically think high school when I think janitor. But where were you working? What type of place?
I was a janitor at a like a hedge fund kind of joint.
Okay.
It was a skyscraper.
So waste paper baskets and stuff like that. Not like school vomit and diarrhea and stuff.
But I saw some wacky stuff. I saw some child porn.
Really?
Seriously?
The slider. Yeah.
Whoa.
And those guys are just kind of gross. And they would all look at me weird because these are kind of privileged, well-to-do business guys. And they would always be like, why is this white kid mopping?
Yeah.
What's he up to? Is he a heroin addict? What's going on? So there was a lot of fishiness there.
They treated you poorly?
I wouldn't say poorly. They just didn't. They didn't even look.
They didn't bother to learn your name or say hi.
No, but one time my famous story is I was mopping and a guy slipped, like a businessman fell on his back and he flipped out. He was like, "What the hell?" And he's like, "You got to put a sign down." And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "The sign lets me know that the floor is wet." I'm like, "But I'm mopping in front of you," and I got fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that was it.
That was
because you stated the obvious.
Yeah, and you can't talk back to these.
You can't sass them.
No, yes. No.
Was that the end of the janitorial arts for
that
you?
That was it. 2 years.
So high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
Were you the mascot in school?
I was.
Yes.
Wow. How'd you pull that?
I do a little research.
Hey, you know more than my father, sadly.
What was your character? What kind of mascot?
It was the De La Salle Cavaliers. So he's kind of like a pirate kind of guy.
Oh, the ones that are sort of human looking are always kind of suck.
Always the worst. And I got fired from that gig as well.
Why?
Well, you know, those gigs, you're at the football game, there's an energy in the air, and you start drinking some whiskey, and you get that big head on, and you forget that you're in front of children, and I did a lot of humping of the air and a lot of horrific, you know, finger actions. And
they were pirates. They were known to be. They were
exactly.
Rapists.
Yeah, they're rapists. They steal from people and rape them.
Yeah.
I was.
You were like, method.
I have a very quick story, and I'll share it with you. I was a mascot for one day at Barnes & Noble. And you know the book series for kids, Cookie Mouse?
No.
If you give a cookie. Anyway, so it's a giant mouse costume, right? And I'm standing and I'm walking around in the kids section and I'm wearing the mascot.
Hadn't you had a couple of drinks too?
No. This is just a straight day at Barnes and Noble.
This is tittering on a Fogel territory here.
Well, no. Not kids involved.
Oh, okay.
But a cute coworker walks down. A female coworker walks down the hall, and this was a saying that my friends and I had been sort of corresponding with. But I just get kind of down low, like a mascot would, and I just go, "Hey, come on over here, sweet teas." Except that I said the full word.
Uh-huh.
This is somebody I had just met. She had no idea who I was, and I'm dressed like Cookie Mouse at the time.
That's the thing. It makes you feel invincible.
Exactly.
Behind the wall of a character.
I thought I was being funny. She thought that I was sexually harassing her. She was, of course, correct, and I was the one that kind of looked like a jerk.
Wow. There's a level of anonymity you perceive because you're now protected by your pirate veneer or your Cookie Mouse veneer. And
Much like blackface. But but now this poor gal, every time she sees a cookie or a mouse, is going to start weeping.
So were you very active and team spirited in school? I'm trying to imagine
to be the mascot.
No, not at all.
I was a douchey skateboarder. I was angsty, and my parents are weird.
Now let me ask you this: I heard this. I don't know if this is this case. Were you a bedwetter as well?
I was.
Okay, Casey, you had your issues.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, it was like the. All right. So every.
By the way, Mark just held up his fist. Like,
you're bedwetters.
Yes.
Bedwetters.
Well, because...
Michael Landon was, too.
Yeah.
All right.
As a 43-year-old man, I will, time to time, and probably too often, go back there mentally, and it'll ruin...
Does it scar you?
Oh, it's... Well, because... And I don't know if this ever happened to you, Mark, but this was like... I don't know how I made it out alive. I went to bed at a sleepover. And
Same. The worst. The worst.
Did you pee the sleepover?
I once woke up at a sleepover. My eyes opened. There's 8 kids' heads around me and 1 mom, and I'm covered in urine, and they're all staring at me. And I look up, and one of the kids goes, "Why do you do this?" And it ruined me.
Why do you do this?
The first thing I heard when I woke up, and the mom's like, get up. She's like, got to do the laundry, so she's mad at me.
As if it's voluntary. Yeah. It's a life choice.
It was warm at night.
This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to pee the bed with all my friends around. That's what I wanted to do. And
exactly.
Then what I wanted to do is at 6 o'clock in the morning, while everybody else is sleeping, I wanted to sneak outside and walk home. I wanted to walk 2 miles home covered in urine. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I learned how to use a washing machine when I was like 2.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, because you have to. I remember there was a made for TV movie Michael Landon did years ago when he was still alive. Obviously, it was less work after he was dead, but he did the whole thing about the mom would hang the sheets out the window to embarrass him in front of his friends.
She was an abusive mother.
Wow. Yeah, she take his virginity? That's a weird move.
The kid who asked, "Why do you do that?"
Yeah, wait, what's that?
Did you answer the kid, "Why do you do that?"
No, I was just like, you know, what are you going to do? Sorry. Yeah. I was grizzled by then. I was smoking a cigarette. I was reading a Penthouse. Like, get out of here, kids. I was 7.
I was thinking about your mom.
Yeah, there you go. It was a nocturnal emission. How do you like that? Yeah, but it was bad, man.
Shut his ass up.
I would do a thing where I would go to sleepovers and everybody would be hanging out, and then, you know, after, like, you know, each kid would slough off eventually, like, wait, Jeff, no, don't go to bed yet, no. And I was the guy staying up late, and it was like a war camp where
that's
excruciating. I had shifts and stay up, you know?
That just sucks. Even as a kid, I knew it was something that was not, it wasn't, you weren't actively looking to do that.
You know,
you just want to be a part of it, and in hindsight, I think to myself, why did you...
put yourself through that?
Why did you put yourself in that position? There was another time before I had had that, and this is like therapy time.
Lay it on me, baby.
Although it doesn't help eventually because, like, I don't know, in 2 weeks' time I'll be crying, you know, just when I'm thinking about it by myself. But I was, my friends invited me to sleep over. I was at their house, and they had a speakerphone. You can make a phone call on the computer. So I'm like, oh, let me call my mom. And, hey, mom, can I sleep over at these guys' house? And she goes, when was the last time you had something to drink? And all my friends are there.
Oh, boy.
And we all looked at each other. I was like, what kind of question is that?
What, am I an alcoholic? Yeah, my dad wouldn't let me have liquids after 6 p.m. That was like his old school way of curing this ailment.
So you had a brother?
I had an older brother.
A brother. And so the brother's there like pounding food and drinking like crazy.
Yeah,
and you've got to sit there and watch it and not drink anything.
Nothing.
That has to suck.
It sucked. I'm just like, you know, my brother's guzzling Kool-Aid and I'm like eating Doritos like, God, this sucks. I'm like a pro wrestler. You know, I'm trying to cut weight. You know, I'm like just licking ice cubes and stuff. Oh, it was brutal. Man.
It does suck. So, but see, that probably, you always talk about what goes into creating. What is the mixture that creates an incredibly funny person such as yourself?
Pain.
I think the pain is a little bit of pain, right?
I think the bedwetting. I had a lot of problems. I had tubes in my ears. I had braces.
What were the tubes for?
I had crazy earwax problems. I have swimmer's ear, they call it, and it just fluid constantly.
And that can drive you nuts.
Oh yeah,
you're always hearing like fluid running, right?
Always fluid running, right. And then it would crust. So then you couldn't hear anything. So I would have crust coming out of my ears, and you go to school, and the kids are ruthless. You know,
did it mess with your balance at all?
No, surprisingly not. I had a good balance, I guess. I was great on the balance beam.
That's the good balance bedwetter. I would say this is that, did you ever try that thing? You know, it's big in the Amish country.
The lighting, the fire thing? I did try the ear candle.
Ear candling, right.
Yeah, I tried. That was a lot of fun.
It's a scam, is it? Yeah.
So what happened? Did it just work itself out or...
I got the tubes, and that fixed it.
Dude, when they do the... 1 year I had, I don't know what it was, or I had sick, I had some sort of infection in my ear. So I went to the doctor, and I thought my hearing was normal, and he did basically it's like a turkey baster. They pump it into your ear and blew out what it was ever in my ear, and suddenly it was like as if Helen Keller could suddenly hear.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my God. My car radio was way too loud. Right. I turned it down. I'm like... It was wild.
Wait, that sounds dangerous.
Well, Preston, you've had it right.
I've had it done. Yeah,
they stick the tray under your ear and they irrigate your ear with like a flush of water.
Yeah, they squirt water in there and all this junk just comes flying out of it.
Isn't that what the candle does?
No,
Supposedly, it's supposing drawing stuff out of there.
The demons.
But what's coming out is actually just a wax from the candle itself. You could talk to any ear ENT doctor, and they'll tell you it's a bunch of crap. So you got to go with the real deal thing. Hey, I wanted to ask you and see if this is correct or not. You're producing a documentary right now. It's in pre-production.
Well, I got a guy who's a bit of a weirdo friend loser, and he's like, I'm going to make a documentary about you. And he's filmed all this crazy stuff, like Oddball Fest, me doing The Tonight Show, Madison Square Garden I did with Schumer. And he just has all this footage, but I know he'll never do anything with it.
Oh, really? We had a guy who did it and made a nice little documentary about us, but you always think the same thing, like, nothing's going to happen with this. You know, but eventually it does. I think it was actually finally pieced together years after any of this stuff that it was relevant.
That might happen.
So you mentioned Amy Schumer, and obviously she adores you, as do we. But how's your communication been with her? She's been dealing with her pregnancy. She has to cancel her tour.
I know. Yeah. Well, she's actually in New Orleans right now. She just loves it down there. She's living it up. And, I think she's having some weird complications. But I think everything's going to be fine, and she's about ready to pop.
Yeah.
So we talked the other day, and she's happy. She's living the dream. But
good. She's got a special coming out on Netflix next month.
That's right. And the trailer looks really funny. I don't know if you caught the trailer, but it's like old Schumer again, just filthy and irreverent and fun.
Do you think she likes you from gathering about your relationship with her? Is that you don't you're her attitude back to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm
and she appreciates
of her.
It. Are you?
Well, she's a real brassy broad, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm a meek child, but covered in urine here. But she's a strong me. So
yeah.
We kind of yin and yang in that way. And it's my baby. So
it's your baby as well.
You know.
Wow. Well that will bring you closer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or further apart. Who knows? But no, she's killing it and just the fact that she's working so hard still, like she's putting out specials while pregnant and still doing theaters and flying everywhere, she's a beast.
Let me ask you, has she met your girlfriend?
Couple times, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
they get along?
They get along, yeah. Most women don't, but they do. And you ever seen that old Family Guy sketch where it's like a Star Wars episode?
Yes.
And Leia's there and this one other woman, this is the only other woman on the planet. I don't like her.
It's not uncommon. I mean, I know
people consider
it a stereotype, but I think the harder, you know, when we looking for like with Kathy's role on the show and everything, it's always harder to bring.
Yeah.
Women can be very critical of other women.
Sure.
It's just happens. It's not. I'm not saying, you know, for whatever reason, but it just seems to happen.
I think it's primal. It's something. Yeah. It's like cavewoman stuff.
Yeah. Who's more competitive, female comedians or male comedians?
Ooh, I think it's case by case. I know some guys who are insane about it, and I know some girls who are.
Are you?
I'm pretty competitive, but I'm very self-loathing. Like, I go, I got to get better. I suck. But
you
I'm not one of these guys like, screw this guy.
Yeah.
He's got to come. I go, I suck.
Okay.
I turn it inward.
And you can't take a compliment.
No, no. So there's no love coming in. Nothing.
You're dead inside.
Yeah, yeah. I can give out love, and I have love for others, but I can't allow it to come in because if it does, I go, oh, my God, and then I get hurt.
Because it's just rotting. I understand.
You
yeah.
get it.
Yeah, I get
you
it.
Get,
yeah.
God, I wish you were my dad.
We can go out
please.
And pal around.
Throw the ball with me. Yeah, that's all I ask.
My dad used to go out when I was a kid. My dad had some weird things. When we'd go play catch, and I was like 5 or 6 or 7, and he would throw as if he was having a catch with an adult man. Like, whack, into my mitt. And I'm like, holy, well, this is how you get good at it.
Tough
no, this
jump.
Is how you get crippled.
Right. I took you to see Deep Throw, too, Steve. So.
He didn't take me, but we rented it first.
Oh.
When VHS, yeah. And I kid you not, the two movies we first rented, there was one video rental place in town at Comac Corners, Comac, Long Island.
Uh-huh.
It was one case. We bought a VHS video player from Fisher's, which was a hardware store that doesn't even exist anymore, and Jaws and Deep Throat.
Oh!
Yeah, it was a theme.
Coolest dad ever. Are you scarred at all?
I think it sort of made me what I am. So
you get a boner when you see a shark?
I do. I do. I was really into sharks, so I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
I was after that, I'd read up on sharks all the time.
Steve's the only guy that asks for teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Got the teeth.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not bleeding. It's not good. If I see half a sheep on a hook, I get turned on.
Right. Shark Tank is your porn.
Exactly.
Seems like it's Shark Week.
Yeah.
Get the lube.
Speaking of movies, do you the Academy Awards your thing at all? Are you a movie guy? Do you watch these and then go see what wins, or does that even interest you?
I went to film school before comedy. I'm a big movie douche, but it's too pat on the backy now. I hate it. I hate the wokey and I like that there's no host. Screw them. They don't appreciate comedy. Comedy never wins. Comedy's never awarded anything.
Yep.
But we got to have a comedian up there.
Right.
So which one is it?
Right.
You know,
that's a good point.
You're exactly right. In the in days of yore, you would have people who were really good at it. You'd have Bob Hope and you had Johnny Carson. You'd have the whole presentation. I used to love award season. And we're just saying recently on the show, I despise it now because there's too many of them. It goes on far too long. But this Oscar telecast started at 8 and ended at about 11:05.
Mm.
It was efficient.
Yeah.
And it, whether it was entertaining or not, I don't know. There were a few moments that were. I remember, though, where there used to be, you know, we had the comedy writer for the Oscars.
Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche in here.
Yeah.
When he was writing the stuff like for Billy Crystal with the.
Yes.
All that stuff. That was great stuff. You don't see that anymore.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I don't know. I like the diversity. I get it. That's good. It's good.
Yeah.
We're all coming together. But doesn't it kind of feel now that, like, you have to have a certain quota.
Yeah.
It's a weird way to judge art, is mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like 10 years ago, you go, well, that is the best movie. That's why it won. And now you're like, did that win because it's the best movie or because it was about a transgender guy in a KKK right. household? You know, you're like, so I'm not I like it. I think it's good we're being inclusive. Great, include everybody. Well, I grew up watching, you know, Boys in the Hood yeah. and all that stuff. But like, I now you just have to sit there and go, is that why? You start scratching your chin.
I know what you mean. There were some people in the industry that are saying sure. what you said and, yeah. and wondering about that. What I thought was interesting, somebody raised this point, is that maybe it's the MTV Movie Awards that don't do genders, you know, for best actor or best actress.
Okay.
But the Oscars still do it because it's like they don't want to give up that award.
Right.
They don't want to risk
yeah.
that.
Because you break it all down, it's just a big rub one out fest for these stars. Oh, we're so great and we're so humble. Shut up. You're wearing a space gown on a red carpet. Your hair is all wackadoo and the dress costs $8 million and some kid in Malaysia made it.
Right.
And now you're talking to me how moral you are.
And you got a $75,000 prize bag just for being there.
Exactly.
I heard the rumor was that the necklace Lady Gaga was wearing was $30 million.
Wow.
Did you guys see that? $30 million necklace.
I believe
she would have known that, though. They lend
those
out.
She was just wearing it. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It was, and somebody pointed out, wasn't that the sort of the plot for the
Ocean's
last Oceans? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
they robbed the Met Gala for all the jewelry they're wearing.
I didn't see it. Yeah, Ocean's 8? I didn't see that one yet. So.
Nobody did.
And I know what you mean. Comedy doesn't get its fair representation.
No.
Never does.
And it's
never
super hard. And we've taken a big hit in the comedy. I remember you got your Animal House, you got your Caddyshack, all brilliant Trading Places, Coming to America, all amazing. And then you had your Old Schools and your Something About Mary and your Dumb and Dumber. But what do we got now? Now it's
Night School.
Is it Night School? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
Madea's
trash. It's dumb.
There you go.
You got to write a movie then.
They won't accept it.
We'll go see your movie.
Yeah, you don't want you want comedy? Don't go see a movie. Go see Mark. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club.
You're talking.
And then, so you got a show tonight, 8:00, and then Friday and Saturday there are two shows, 7:30 and 10:30, and then the rare Sunday show.
Ooh.
Rears its head.
It's like seeing a unicorn.
At Helium. And that will be at 7:30. So, obviously, Mark's got a lot of fans in Philly. So, you should go see him if you've never seen him before.
Hilarious.
HeliumComedy.com to get those tickets. But, dude, thanks for stopping by this morning.
Oh, thanks. No cardboard
talk?
It's
great to see you. What about the Cardboard Classic tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, we've been teasing that for the past couple of weeks.
Oh, geez, sorry. What? I don't want to blow it.
It's all good.
All right. Can I just say, I've never seen it before. And from the footage I've seen, it looks like people crossing the border from Canada.
If your schedule allows, you should come some year.
I would love to.
It's so awesome. It's so much fun to see. It's, and
we'll make you the Grand Marshal.
Yeah.
That's right up my alley. This drinking, day how, drinking, and the fun snow and the cardboard. I love it.
This is how they escape from Canada.
You know what this is?
I love that.
Think of this as a polar gay pride, right? Outside your window.
Yep. It'll be just like being in the West Village. Wow.
Yeah.
Great to see you, Mark. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Mark Norman. We'll take a break.
Love it.
And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If you were in Houston 5 days ago, then you're still reeling from the big day of his. It was Ali Sadiq Day in Houston.
Oh.
Kid you not. Please welcome the namesake of that holiday, Ali Sadiq.
Yeah.
This morning. How How you doing, man?
That's the truth.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
It was Ali Sadiq Day, February 23rd.
The mayor of Houston proclaimed that, correct?
Yes, he did. Sylvester Turner.
What an honor.
Was this in conjunction with your Comedy Central special?
Exactly with the special.
Which is really cool, which is, it's bigger than these bars. You went to a prison. You yourself had been done time.
Yes.
And you did something that I thought, and I just watched the trailer, was not aware of it. I'm going to check this out. It looks really engaging. You're performing for a bunch of people, incarcerated people.
Yeah.
And you're it's clear as you're just watching the teaser that you're bringing insight, that they're all recognizing stuff you're saying, and then you're saying stuff that also I think translates to just everybody.
It was very funny to go back and do a show in prison and then talk about how you can come to prison. It was very funny to me. As I was doing it, I was like, no, they already pretty much know this. Everybody already know this.
But they were laughing. And like you start off, and it's in the trailer for it. It says, thank you for coming tonight, but you didn't have a choice.
You already paid the ticket.
An expensive ticket.
But you're very civic minded. You're very proactive about getting people to turn their lives around, and this seems to be an extension of the outreach of that. Correct?
Yes, I don't want to be the only one, man. That's the thing. I'm tired of people asking me how you do it. They ask some other people. So I'm trying to recruit other convicted felons on how to change your life around. You know, it's a big thing, and this takes a certain fortitude to understand that you can't start. Once you get out, you have to start inside. You have to start changing your mind.
You've got
to
get your mind right. Yes.
And that was the purpose of going back, to get them to understand, not only just them, people that's, you know, out in the street and family members, to understand you have to start changing your mind so you can change how you react. You know, it's a lot, man, when you constantly... Recidivism rate is constant.
Yes.
It's a complex issue because people are all individuals. And we've had people on the phone lines who've gone in, done their time, straightened their act up, learned their lesson in the big house. I mean, that's where they realize, okay, this is a serious reality check right here.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who don't. It doesn't come to them quite so easily.
I know people, you know, you meet somebody. Man, I've been here 7 times. Why? Why have you been here 7 times? What is in here that you like? I don't like nothing. I don't like the bed. I don't like the officers. I don't like the food. There's nothing in this place that's appealing. There's nothing. I didn't find nothing. I went through the whole 6 years and still came out of there with nothing that I liked.
Yeah.
Like nothing. It's not one thing. Like, oh, like this was okay. Nothing was okay.
So we had one time here. We had a bunch of guys who had done time, and we had a bunch of like top level chefs come in here, and they prepared prison chichi for them. The food that you make in the prison. And I'm even the guy who was supposedly the best at doing it. It still was horrible.
Well, and you remember though, these guys that came in, they were like, yeah. I make the best. This is blah, blah, blah. And they haven't done this since they were doing their time.
Exactly.
And they made it, and then they realized how lousy it was after they've had real food.
Exactly. Let me tell you something. I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to make the food outside. Yeah. It doesn't taste the same at all. One, you have, like, real ingredients. Like, you got real stuff. And then it's like you program your mind. To think, okay, this is okay. I'm doing well. You're doing well for what you're doing.
Like, yeah.
It's like being in war, like eating out of them little, what's them little?
K-rations, C-rations.
MREs.
That's cool when that's all you have.
Yeah.
Right? You're exactly right.
You can come back and start opening that up and putting it on plate for people like, look, this is what I had. I'm telling you, it's delicious.
But what was great, because they, each individual chef had their, well, I make mine with this.
Yes.
I make mine with, you know,
Cheetos
with hot
and
Cheetos.
Pickles.
Yes.
They were crushing up crackers or their Doritos.
My special ingredient is little pieces of pepperoni.
And then they one would heat it up with his hands. The other one had like rigged up a thing where he would he ran wires out of the right. He was bearing wires on a tin. All these weird things, but it all tasted like crap. And you're so right, because in the context of where you are, it's the best you got. But when you come out and eat real food, like who actively goes and seeks that?
Let me tell you, I cannot eat pancakes and peanut butter in the world. I don't know why.
Yeah.
In prison, it was delicious. It was like the best. It was like, yo, this is what I'm talking about right here. Like, this is breakfast. But then once you get out, the peanut butter don't do the same thing. Yeah. It's like, maybe it's not even the same brand of peanut butter. Like, it's
prison
peanut
butter. I need
prison industrial peanut butter. Some crushed by inmate hands. I don't know. But
you know, it's funny because, you know, I think of these things, are great, like Johnny Cash went and did a special, and then Jeff Ross did something, but he wasn't in prison. Exactly. Johnny Cash was. You were, you know, and there's a certain authenticity, and you can see. Again, that's why I have to watch the special, because it was just you know, seeing a little bit of it was so compelling. You could see it in their faces that you're talking, you know, you're talking the language, and you also I think we just naturally want to hope that that people can turn their lives around. We want to, you know, that you have a shot, that you can make it better.
You have a shot.
Yeah,
watch the special. The special is pretty good. I must say. Now the off camera, I almost stayed. I almost had to stay.
What happened? What happened?
Two things happened. One, I almost got in a fight.
Really?
With this dude who couldn't come to the show, and he had an attitude, and I had to let him know, please don't let this suit fool you. I'll beat you down in this prison. Like, sir, I'm not an actor. I was here. So
yeah.
My mentality is still the same, sir.
Right.
And then big shout out to Victoria, the legal from Viacom. They had this scene where the director and a producer came up with some scene that I wasn't aware of. And I walk in. I can see them. I can see their face. It looked like they was up to something. They was like, look, Ali, we got this wonderful idea. We're going to get you to put your hand on this fingerprint machine, and then it's going to pop up and all that. And I'm sitting there like, nah. And Victoria saw my face, and she was like, what's going on? I said, they want me to put my hand on this machine. She said, is it a live machine? I said, that's what it appears to be. And Victoria, little small redhead white lady, walks over to them and say, hey guys, just want to just inform you, he's not an actor. He's done real things that we don't know what all he's done. So we're gonna X out the fingerprint machine. And then I was like, Victoria, that'd be horrible. After I finished this special, they were like, great special, Ali. But you must stay. We've been looking for you.
Ali, there was a story, and I don't know what it pertains to. Perhaps you can fill us in on it. You, at one point, covered yourself in baby oil or something in a cell? Or
yeah, that was one of the wild times, man. I was refusing to leave my cell.
Okay.
And the Doom Squad, they come in. It's a lot of them. They come in like 8 deep with shields and all this equipment to extract you from your cell because you've say you're not leaving.
Right.
And it's a way to give them a hard time. You know, a naked, greasy man with water on the floor. It's a pretty hard way to go for them. You know, I know that wasn't part of their day. You know, today it's going to be some naked, greasy man that I'm going to have to wrestle down. You know, when you full of baby oil and Vaseline, you real slippery. Uh-huh. Like, so you slippery when wet. I'm just saying.
And you're naked.
But the problem is, fellas, if you ever do this, just know the shield that they have has electricity in it. Oh. Electric shield.
Oops.
So you in water and you grease, you're getting boiled and fried.
But you see, it helped you develop your sense of humor, right? I mean, it helped.
No, I was funny before that. That's what they just added. It just added to it. It's like, they were like, Ali has another story.
How much electricity courses through that sucker?
Man, it's a lot.
Is it like a taser?
It's a lot to give you. Like, me and you could have a full head of hair if they shock both of us right now. It's like, we'd be James Brown real fast.
Like, we grow full heads of hair.
A full head of hair. If you don't even need no type of, just get shocked with a shield. You can grow your hair out real fast.
Oh, I did not know that.
I was a wild cat in there for the first 2 years. And then Some elders calmed me down. Some elders told me, hey, man, you're not really going to be here forever if you don't want to.
Why do you think we're fascinated by stuff like from the Shawshank Redemption to these sort of movies? Because it is ultimately a lot of them are stories of redemption about turning your life around.
I don't know why. It's really white people. White people are very fascinated. They want to know about prison but don't want to be here. Like, it's like at the zoo. They want to look at it like, that looks terrible. But I'm not going in there. I buy a ticket to go see it, but I'm not going. Right. I'd rather somebody, because look, NSNBC, The show Lockup has been on their number one show for 25 years.
I've seen it.
You watch every episode.
It's just, yeah, you know, I'll turn it on and it just, it's on all the goddamn time.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
This is how terrible a Texas prison is.
Yeah.
You will never see us on MSNBC. You'll never see us on Lockup.
Yeah.
They refused. See, that was, what I shot at was a transit, like a in between. Like you, people waiting to go to prison, and people who going back to prison. So they wouldn't let you, they wouldn't let me actually go into one of the prisons that I was actually at. Let me tell you the meeting with Comedy Central. All these executives and then all the prison execs. And I'm sitting in the room and the man said, well, we don't allow cameras in the Texas penal system. Right. And because we can't control what all the things that you gonna say about it. I don't want you to say anything negative about our prison.
Right.
And this is me being the jerk that I am. I said, well, it's a lot of intelligent people in this room. I'm gonna say the word prison, and I would like you to say all the positive things that come to your mind. They was like, that's not how we gonna get them to approve this. I'm like, I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about San Quentin and all these other places and Sing Sing New York. The reason why people don't say that Texas has the worst prisons is because they won't let you see.
They won't let you see.
And I can tell you that it has to be the worst prison. It has to be. I went to a lot. We did a lot of other prisons. That was crazy. We was doing, me and Stu Miller, we was going around evaluating prisons for our special.
Your location scouting. Yeah.
So then we in Oregon, and I kept telling Stu how serious a Texas prison is. And then he gets this glimpse from this black dude in Oregon. He's doing this woodwork. And he said, well, I was in a Texas prison before. And Stu asked him, so what's the difference between Oregon and Texas? He said, it's a lot safer here.
I remember the story, and David Crosby, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, he was, you know, a raging alcoholic, a drug addict. And when he went into the Texas prison, that cleaned him out. I mean, he came out. I mean, in fact, he said that's the only thing that worked, that a Texas prison.
It's like literally stepping back into a lawless time.
Yeah.
Because they put Texas prisons in like small towns.
Yeah.
Where everybody's related. Everybody's related. Mm-hmm. They put you in a small town. So you can get into it with someone's wife or husband on first shift, and then their father come on third shift and wanna try to kill you. Like, you can die in a Texas prison.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what happens to you. Like, nobody knows what happened. And they story gonna be the same. Just imagine walking into your family and say, who killed this man? Like, we not saying. Like, I don't know. The man was dead when they brought him in.
He was dead when they brought him in.
Dead when they brought him out. He walked off the bus dead.
Did you do your full sentence or?
Oh no, my full sentence was 15 years. I did 6 on a 15.
Yeah.
Not due to me. You know, I didn't. I got in trouble a couple times, but I learned about politics in prison.
Yeah.
This Ann Richards was the governor when I went in, and this old guy said, well, everybody out of convince their family members to vote for Ann Richards, because it's going to be her last term. Third term, she can't run again. So what she going to do, she's just going to steal money. But if Bush get in office, he going to be tough on crime, and nobody's going home.
Okay.
So that's around the two-year mark. That's around the two-year mark. I'm thinking, because I was supposed to do 21 months, 18 to 21 months, go home. So we at 24 months, so it's doing the politics, the run. So then Bush wins, and the next thing I know, I get what they call a serve-all. Like, you get serve-offs and serve-offs.
Okay,
you get a serve-all and a serve-off. So a serve-all means that you have to serve all your sentence. You're going to do the mandatory, the minimum mandatory, which is like, that would have been 7.5 for me.
All right.
On a 15. But a serve-all, they just give you a date, like 4 years away from the date that you're standing at now, which would have been, Bush would have been in office.
So you're dealing with just a calendar date as opposed to the actual down to the day serving. Yes. Okay,
and
all right.
So he sent me, they sent me the next day I get a serve all, like Bush in off. Bush gets in office, and the next week I get a serve off. Well, I got to serve 4 more years. I'm like, what happened? And the old man sitting there like, I told you. Aaron Richards was been stealing money. Bush is going to be tough on crime. I've been here for 17 calories. Like,
oh wow.
No, like I know people, CeCe, like I do this story about this guy named CeCe. He came in 1979 with 4 years.
Yeah.
I met him in 1994.
Oh my God.
And he's never left. He's been there. But he got in a riot. Mm. He killed somebody in a riot that he wasn't even in. He was just happened to be outside. He killed somebody protecting himself, and he was so mad after that he killed like 4 more people after they gave him the sentence.
Whoa. So you were on God. This Is Not Happening. I think Ari Shaffir was hosting at the time.
Shaffir, yeah.
Right, and then you was the story about a prison riot were in.
That was I was on Torres unit. That was a weird place. Torres is right outside of Hondu, Texas.
Okay,
which is I think what's my man John Wayne did a thing Hondu.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a good movie.
He's right outside.
It was a good movie.
It's a terrible place. It's a good movie, but it's a terrible place. So it's right outside of San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's literally like maybe 45 minutes outside of San Antonio. So I'm there and they have like, this is the most terrifying sound. That's the most terrifying sound.
Oh,
it's like 300 Mexicans are together screaming
with
not. It's like that's how they divert your attention. It's like it's called chaos.
Right.
I'm just walking. I'm like, what is happening? It's like this dude grabbed me like, yo, man, you better come on. It's a riot. They about to jump out. I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. He was like, that has nothing to do with what goes. This is not a place that makes sense, sir.
Right, yeah.
It's not a sensible place. This is a place of death and destruction.
you're acting as if I haven't signed up for this.
I didn't know what they were even fighting about.
I'm right. Like, it doesn't matter.
I'm going to get my clothes. It has nothing to do with me. And he's like, oh, so you think that they scream and running towards you with knives and they're going to just run past you. Like, okay, he has nothing to do with it. Like, so, yeah, that was the worst. Dude named Mitch out of Fort Worth. That was the worst.
How long did that last while that's going on? Or does it seem like it goes on for a year?
A riot lasts approximately 4 minutes.
That's it. But it feels like...
But see, people say, oh, that's it.
Yeah. but it feels like...
it's not... 4 minutes is a long time
for
people trying to kill.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, a dog's year is, like, 7 years. So, like, a riot minute is, like, what? Like, 3 hours?
Okay, we going in dog year. A riot, it's like 2 years. You can grab 2 years in the 4 minutes. Just imagine. How long would it be if you could say two people was trying to kill you right now in this room?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were trying to kill you.
Yeah.
For 4 minutes.
It would seem like a long time.
It would seem like, yo, it was forever. Like, how long? Y'all didn't do nothing?
When it was over, I would say, how are my grandkids? Right?
4 minutes of somebody trying to kill you, and you don't know why. And you don't know how. And it's a lot of people. And you can't trust anybody in this situation. Mm. That's how I got cut, trying to let a Mexican dude. I thought he was trying to go in the building.
Yeah.
And he went right past me and cut me with a razor. Now I'm like, jeez. Oh, this is what we doing? I was trying to be friendly.
God almighty.
How tough was it after you served your sentence, you get out into the real world, you got to reacclimate. How was that?
Man, it was not tough for me at all.
No kidding.
Really? No, I was on it. You got to understand, I started preparing my mind in prison. Because in my mind, I was like this. What job am I going to get when I get out?
Right.
Any job. I don't care what job they give me. Because I'm doing 1,000 jobs in here. I'm making $0.
Yeah.
Texas don't pay you nothing.
Right.
So I was a janitor. I was a fire safety clerk. I worked in the field. I was in the laundry. I'm like, I'm doing all these jobs, learning a lot of skills.
How hard to get that? Because we do hear, and they're trying to make it now better for people returning into the system to get work. How hard before you got a job?
I got out October 21st. I had a job by the 28th.
Wow. 29th. That's great.
Yeah, I was consistent, though. I needed clothes. So this dude named Reginald Ballard, he always attested this story. He said, man, this is most determined man. I got out, and I needed clothes. Yeah. So I said, well, maybe I just work at a man's department store.
Yeah.
So I went to him. I went to the store called Mosa. He told me they wasn't hiring. I came back the next day. Told me they wasn't hiring. Came back the next day. He said, man, didn't I tell you that we wouldn't hire? I said, I don't know. Somebody may have got fired or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I skipped a day, and then I was back in the mall looking for other jobs, and I just happened to go in there, and they happened to be busy. And I think Reggie must have, you know, my face must have been familiar to him. He just turned and said, man, we need some mock necks. I didn't know what a mock neck was. So I just went to the back. And I was like, yo, we need some mock necks. So I broke the mock necks. And then I was just in the store folding up stuff, helping people to the register. He was like, what's your number? So at the whole end of the day, Reggie was like, man, we had a great day. My man right here was on. He was like, man, you don't work here. I'm like, I've been here all day, Chief.
Yeah.
I've been here all day. I'm the one that got you the mock neck. And he hired me on a Sunday.
That's
I'm
wild.
The only person he ever That's hired true, on a Sunday.
That's Have you awesome. Had people come back that you've talked to and sort of counseled? And, you know, anybody like even from this special who's they get out and they sort of follow your lead?
It's a lot of people.
A lot That's of people. Great, it's got to make you feel good.
Especially the people who I was in there with. It's a yeah. lot of people I was incarcerated with that have a lot of good things to say about me
yeah.
because how I was when I was incarcerated. I was a very, very determined young man when I was in there. I would fight people that didn't go to school because yeah. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
If you don't have education in here, you got in here with lack of education. Now you wasting your time doing something and you can get all the education in here while you're here.
Yeah. Mm.
So, man, this is how this going to go. Either you're going to go to school, I'm going to ask you once or twice, and the third time, it's going to be a fight, man. I'm yeah. going to just fight you until you decide to go to school.
Right.
So you can choose it, you know. And people are like, hey, man, it's like four people on this unit that you don't want to fight. And that little one is probably one. Because that's usually call me the little one.
The little one.
They say the little one can fight. Like I used to box. So I'm like, yo, it's like I have several forms of different fighting styles for people. It depends on what you want.
Right.
If you're a mixed martial artist, I got that for you. Kung Fu, long fist bagua. If you a person that want to do capoeira, I got yeah. that for you. If you're yeah. a wrestler, hey, used to do that a little bit. If you a boxer, hey, you want southpaw, you want traditional. However you want it, I'm good.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And if you want to stab it up, I got a little Mexican dude who make knives in there. You know, whatever.
So you had people going to school. That's awesome, man.
Well, yeah, it was a thing. And my man, Lewis McKenzie, I always mention his name. Lewis is like, yo, this is the person who, if you was a young man, that he challenged your vocabulary, he challenged your way of thinking, and he made you go to school.
It's awesome.
That's great, man. Well, listen, unfortunately, we got to cut this short. We could keep talking to you for hours, man. You got a lot of great stories.
Yeah, it's a lot of riveting stuff.
Texts are coming in, people saying they're really loving hearing what you have to say. And somebody says here, this man needs a movie about his life.
Yeah.
It'd be a good one, right?
It would be a good one. It would be a real one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Orange is the New Black. I'd be so mad when I see them show. I'm like, okay, where's the count? Ain't no count. I know this ain't no real show because they not counting nobody.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the most important thing in prison is the count.
Count the body. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to know. Well, listen, Ali is going to be performing at Punchline. He's got a show tonight at 8 o'clock and then tomorrow on Saturday at 7:30 and 9:45. You can get the tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Congratulations on your day in Houston. That's really cool, man.
Thank you. Your special on Comedy Central, yeah, available now, right? I assume you can get it on demand?
Yeah. All right. Hopefully, Comedy yeah. Central be tripping sometime. Hey, I trolled y'all on did y'all see me troll y'all on Instagram?
No, not no. yet.
Yeah,
no.
Y'all had put something else about me by BET and all this.
Oh, and I trolled it
and went right out. No, and also Comedy Central. Like,
yeah. Marissa pointed that out to me. We don't know who put the info up, but it wasn't her, and it was wrong. And Ali was all over it.
So. I was trolling y'all.
It's
I had nothing to do that day.
Hey, nice Thank to y'all. Meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank y'all for having me.
Ali Sadiq. Yeah. And get those tickets. Like I said, you can go to punchlinephilly.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Let me give away a $50 Redstone gift card.
Yes.
Because they served up the food this morning, and Redstone Grills in Plymouth Meeting officially reopened after the fire they had a little while back. So we thank them for their bringing by here, and they want to thank you for your support. Reservations at redstonegrill.com. We'll take caller number 9, and we will give you that $50 gift card. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back.
MMR rocks Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019, presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum.
A gigantic 18-foot tall R2-D2 is coming down.
The giant hoagie has come down. There have to be 20 people inside that thing.
Join the party Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
This is like Mummers on Acid.
Mummers on Acid on snow.
It's a spectacle on snow where everyone has a blast. Amazing cardboard creations, thrilling runs, and epic fails. Be a part of the gallery up and down the tubing hill.
There are people falling on top of each other.
Complete pandemonium!
Hit the slopes on the cheap with the MMR VIP lift ticket special. Just $20 available until noon on February 27th or while supplies last. Details at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum. Live like a captain. Join the group. And sponsored by Sprint and J.P. Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I want to thank Michael Musselman, who is the director of operations for Redstone American Grill, who's been here this morning for what we call a meet and eat. They bring in a bunch of food. All of our guests are dining on fantastic food from Redstone. And then we have some giveaways that we give to you. But Michael brought me a bottle of bourbon, and it's a special bottle. It's an Old Forester birthday bourbon. And he was giving me the story about this. They release a barrel of this every year on the original distiller, Mr. Forrester's birthday.
Wow.
And this is a 12-year-old bourbon, barreled in 2005, the year we started here at MMR. He brought it specifically for that year, which is pretty cool. And he says it's hard to get your hands on this. Like, it flies off the shelves. So thank you, Michael. That was cool. And they're bourbon connoisseurs. They have bourbon special nights where they debut certain kinds and do bourbon tastings and things at Redstone.
People love those nights. Yep. You know, if you have a cultivated palate, that's something you want to partake in.
So that's one of the things that I really actually do love about Redstone. I'm not into bourbon, but the wine list. So that's part of what Mike does is he handpicks all of that stuff that's on the menu. So it's not like across the board at all of the Redstones, you're going to get, you know, the exact same wines and bourbons and things like that. He specifically picks them and he picks good alcohols and puts them on the list.
So thank you to him and Amanda Walski and Pedro Lugo for being here this morning and serving up. We'll do some more giveaways in a little bit. You know what I haven't done, and I need to do this now as far as giveaways go. I haven't given away any of the movie passes for a screening of Captain Marvel, which is on Tuesday next week. So let's take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. Case, what theater is that going to be at?
It's at Warrington? The UA. Is it UA Warrington?
No, it's Regal.
It's a Regal Warrington.
Oh.
Because we usually do these at the King of Prussia, but King of Prussia is going to be under construction all next week. They're doing some, like, renovations and
putting
stuff.
Putting in a swimming pool.
But we wanted to make sure that this screening was going to be an IMAX, so that's why we did it at the Regal Warrington.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. You need to be there by 7 o'clock. Movie starts at 7:30. Also, for your viewing pleasure, the latest Daily Rush video is up and running, and the name of it is called The Fictitional Documentaries.
This is well done.
Description is fictitional factoids about factionists, factalalicals about rock bands. And in this, you'll hear Casey throw it back to himself.
Yes.
At some point.
First time ever.
Yeah.
I believe it or not.
It's a store. It's great. And there's a lot of great production they did with the video, too, if you want to check
Real
that
quick,
out.
Real quick, though. Is fictitional a word? I know I made it up on the spot, but... Was it like an idiot?
A fictitious town is what you would normally say. Fictitional sounds weird. Yeah.
Let me.
We can check. A fictitious is, I think, is the more appropriate way.
I have a friend who wanted to make competitious a word. You know, to be competitious is the same as to be competitive.
Yeah, fictitional is not a word.
Fictional is.
Fictional is the word.
Yeah. Fictional.
Yeah.
Not fictitious.
Not fictitious.
Well,
you added a syllable.
It's phylactoid.
But it's great because in it, we're kind of
busting my chops
a little bit, and you're just like, and the bottom line is, you knew what I meant.
Well, there's a perfect example. Earlier today,
I mean. Yes.
As you're reading copy or saying things in your mind, Kathy, you didn't even know you did it today.
Oh, God,
it was it was signs, and you said sings.
Yeah,
singing.
Yeah. It was about Trump and Kim Jong Un signing something. You said they were singing.
They were singing something.
And I
this
just
is the greatest nuclear agreement that's ever been signed.
God.
Ah.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Bing, bing, bong, bong.
Do we have I'm So Womely from, which would be
probably
Jung's father from,
there's
Team America.
I'm So Womely.
Wait, what was the happy noise that Nick came up with?
Oh, it was an email sent that Nick sent. Has it been dubbed off?
It was when you were talking. I don't know. I sent it to Marissa as well. But it was, we were talking about shopping yesterday. And then Preston was just, before Preston could even finish asking you the question, you knew what it was a reference to, and you made a sound that was pure joy.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Case, you can skip that. Oh, here it is. Okay, I'm sorry. This is not Kathy.
I'm though. So lonely. So lonely.
Yeah.
So lonely inside, real lonely. Give no one, just me only. Sitting on my rental phone. I work really hard and make up way prints, but nobody listens, no one understands.
So he gets choked
up. Seems right, no one takes me seriously. And so
I'm Womely.
I'm Womely.
Right here, he gets choked up.
A bit of Womely. Poor riddle.
So he would have been singing, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
But anyhow, yeah, Kathy had said they were singing.
Casey, do you want to pot up my computer?
Sing no, together. We got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yeah, here
we go. So this was Kathy at the moment. I think that I told her that I paid for shipping.
Yeah.
And she went.
That's
Wow.
Wait, hold that, hold that.
Okay.
I think I can help you out here. Just 1 second. All right, here we go.
Wow, Kathy.
That's pretty good.
That's disgust.
That's his. I know it is.
I know, but it. I think that would be appropriate.
It'd be about the same thing.
It's about the same thing. A genuine disgust. Shipping and sex.
Yeah. Shipping fees and sex, you know.
Shipping, it's paying for shipping and sex.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
I do, though, Kathy's so funny because you and Claire are right on, like, by the way, hon, I got this on sale. High boss, or like you know, free shipping. She like chest pumps me. It's hilarious.
Nice. By the way, I need to mention that the Daily Rush video, if you want to check out the factitional documentaries, it's at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Jack Frost. Big Boulder Ski Areas. Mark your calendar for the President Steve Cardboard Classic tomorrow at Jack Frost. WMMR.com to grab lift tickets for just $20 or just get the information there. How about that? Yeah. All right. Let's see. Where do we go? How about this one? If you have kids old enough to use your phone, you should password protect basically everything. An 11-year-old boy in China managed to drain his grandfather's retirement savings by using the man's phone to tip live streaming hostesses.
So he was like online porn, like hookers.
I don't know. But they were live streaming hostesses. And the grandfather named Lee was shocked to find nearly $6,000 had disappeared from his account over the course of 3 days. After he checked his transaction records, he found almost all the money had been paid to iQIYI, or Q-I-Y-I, however you pronounce that. It's one of the largest online video websites in China. The boy admitted that he had spent his grandpa's money to tip and buy presents for his favorite female video game live streamers on the site.
There you go.
Porn. Okay. Not porn. iQIYI said that it would offer a refund to the grandfather following an investigation. Animal rescuers in Britain responded to a home where they ended up removing a snake, and the snake had turned blue from the cleaning products inside the toilet where it was hiding.
Like a blue snake, like Tidy Bowl.
Yeah, the RSPCA said a family renovating the home said they had just purchased in Basildon, England, Found a snake in the bathroom when the reptile...
Ah, hey, this is a blue snake in this toilet.
Reptile knocked over a lit candle. They found the animal had taken up residence in the toilet's tank. The snake was identified as a non-venomous rat snake and is believed to be someone's pet. It's being cared for by a veterinarian to make sure that it didn't ingest any of the blue cleaning fluid.
Yeah, you wouldn't want the snake to get sick.
This is terrible. A 56-year-old female hiker was killed by falling rock and ice at Yosemite National Park in California. Man. Yeah.
We were just talking about Yosemite.
And they said that Zhang Wang was hiking on Yosemite's Mist Trail when she was hit by rock and ice. Now, while the trail is popular, it's closed at this time of year because of icy and hazardous conditions.
They always post that stuff, but I know people... They'll just do what they want to do. It's not like there's a guard sitting there.
In fact, the Park Service said that the trail closure is clearly marked, and there is a gate on the trail reminding visitors of the closure. She ignored the signs, went around the gate, and the incident happened on the trail. So they close those for a reason, gang.
You have things like that happen all the time where people will go on a trail or take an off-road vehicle onto a trail and then get trapped in snow or an avalanche. They don't realize it. Everything's being managed. You got to be careful.
Yep. This is disturbing. An 800-year-old crusader from a crypt in a Dublin church has been decapitated by vandals. Archdeacon David Pierpoint said that the crusader's head had been severed from his body and,
this sucks.
And taken away.
You lived for 800 years.
No, he wasn't alive.
Oh.
It was a corpse. Oh. Yeah. And to go like
and
that?
And to go like that.
Come on.
You're 800 years old.
You, like, lived through plague after
everything.
Plague.
Everything. Older than our own country here.
The discovery was made as a tour guide was preparing to open the church for visitors on Monday afternoon. The archdeacon said he was upset and disappointed that the church had been targeted again by vandals. The crypt of St. Meekins was vandalized in 1996.
I'm a crusader.
He said initially it was quite disgusting when he saw what had happened, but now it's just sad. Apparently, the crypt has been badly damaged, and several of the mummies, including the 400-year-old remains of a nun, had been desecrated in the incident. The crusader's body was turned over, and his head was removed. The crypt of St. Meekins was previously vandalized in 1996 when a group of teenagers broke in and took a number of mummified bodies from the coffins. They dragged them onto the grounds and seemed to be playing football with their heads.
That's just wrong.
He had it, thankfully.
It's called soccer over there.
No, it's called football over there.
Oh, is it?
It's called soccer here.
You're right.
That's just wrong.
I mean,
it's called soccer. Anyhow, they're trying to find out who did it. Steve, I thought this would be interesting specifically for you because you had a Great Dane when you were younger.
Yes.
Veterinarians in Arizona performed a C-section on a Great Dane to help her deliver 19 puppies.
What? Wild.
The Kingman Animal Hospital said that it took 11 staff members to perform the procedure on Saturday after the dog, and I think your dog's name was Clem, right?
Clem, Clementine, Mount Valerie Rock.
This one is Cleo.
Cleo.
Was brought in with a difficult labor. They said the puppies are all healthy and Cleo's doing great after her C-section. The Great Danes typically have litters of about 8 puppies.
We will control the world.
But this had more than twice the number of the average.
One of the greatest dogs you could ever have. They're huge, but their disposition is so sweet, and they're great with kids.
Yeah, I actually have, in my mind, a list of types of dogs I need to own before I die, and right. Great Dane is definitely one of them. And they need to, like, Great Danes especially, they have to have a proper name.
Yes,
you
I think
I mean?
So. Yeah, they're bigger than most humans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do one more story and then wrap it up. Gwendolyn Agard's story. She had initially refused to talk about it on camera, but now she's doing it. She didn't see the big deal, but everyone else did. She's a 79-year-old woman, fended off a burglar as he tried to get inside her home. She had called 911, and she shot at the 20-year-old suspect twice with her .38 and .45.
Wow.
She was able to fend him off until deputies arrived to arrest him. And what's funny is what she said to him. She decided to tell her story, and she started with what she said. The first thing she told the man who dared to break into her home was, and I quote, "I said, mother effer, if you come any further, you're a dead son of a bitch."
I love that.
I know.
She said she had heard a noise.
She's Joan Wick.
And she said...
Joan Wick.
She started her work and knew she had heard a noise. She knew that the sound wasn't normal, not taking any chances. She armed herself with a .38, and that's when she heard a louder noise. And then something hit her door, she recounted. The man was hitting the back door of her porch with a rubber mallet that he retrieved from a neighbor's barn. The glass shattered. He came inside, and he was naked.
Oh.
She said he didn't have no pants on. He was naked.
Not no pants, no how.
She tried to warn the man that she was armed and even fired a warning shot, but she says the man went on upstairs and started ransacking her home. And since the .38 wasn't working, she went over and grabbed her .45.
That's grandma for you.
She's looking at her going, yeah. All right, I got to get something bigger.
Give me a racket.
She called 911. She started giving the 911 and giving them a play-by-play as she waited for the deputies to get there. She was actually scared when she was talking to them, but when the man tried to come downstairs, she fired again.
Hi, Grandma.
Agard fired again, to which the man asked in surprise, "Bitch,
hi, Grandma."
Hang on.
Yeah,
he said in surprise, "Bitch, are you trying to kill me?"
I love the language flying back and forth.
And her her reply to him was, "Oh, you finally got the message."
That's damn. A tough woman. I love her.
Better. Yeah. So the cops came and they ended up grabbing him. She said, I don't know what his intention was, but I know what mine was if I had seen him. So she was going to take him out. Pretty funny. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back in just a second or two. Stay with us. We're going to have a lesson question. See if you've been paying attention. Some goodies up for grabs. Be right back.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
What a beautiful, bright, shiny-looking day it is.
Oh, I love this.
Temperatures are going to go up to about 40. I mean, we're not getting a great, beautiful, warm day. It doesn't really matter because we want it to remain a little bit on the cool side, at least until after tomorrow, which... For the Cardboard Classic, weather forecast as it stands looks perfect. Maybe a snow shower overnight, a nice little coating, which would be wonderful. In and around this area, I heard a coating to an inch.
Yes, nothing. Nothing really to deal with. And up there, like a 20% chance of precipitation tomorrow is going to happen, maybe later on today there.
That'd be nice. And we're at a high of like 36 tomorrow, and that's usually not till later in the day. So in the morning when we're doing the Cardboard Classic, it should be perfect condition. So we're looking forward to that. As far as around here, though, 39 tomorrow the high, and then clouds on Saturday, 43, and then we might get some rain on Sunday. But not a bad-looking day as of now. We're going to do the lesson question for today. 4-pack of tickets to see Matchroom Boxing is what we are going to give away. And let me see here. I haven't had a chance to really look at these. I know, Nick, you gave me these like 10 minutes ago, and I didn't look at them. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. There's a few Mark Norman-inspired questions in there.
Yeah, you know what? I may go with one of those. So we were talking about the Cardboard Classic. So Mark, who was on earlier this morning, said the Cardboard Classic is how refugees escape from what country? 215-263-WMMR. The Cardboard Classic is how refugees escape from which country? If you were listening, you know the answer, then you should call right now, 215-263-WMMR, while you're trying to get through. We will do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. Girl Scout cookie-inspired flavors are back at Dunkin'. Enjoy $2 medium lattes and cappuccinos from 2 to 6 p.m. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin', and participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kylie Jenner reportedly asking her boyfriend Travis Scott if Jordan Woods ever acted inappropriately towards him, as she did when she slept with Khloe Kardashian's boyfriend, Tristan Thompson. Travis reportedly responded saying, quote, "That depends if appropriately means ass stuff."
Oh, my God.
Fox announcing that it is happening. A revival of 90210 is going into production for next year. However, since the revival will feature the original cast, the series will now be called Hollywood Hills 90068 because that's where Forest Lawn is.
Oh,
my God.
And finally, 44-year-old Ryan Seacrest breaking up with his girlfriend of 3 years, 27-year-old Shayna Taylor. Seacrest says that while there was a 17-year difference between them, she had the soul of a 27-year-old vagina. Yeah. And that's your Hollywood tweet.
All righty. We're looking for an answer to this question. The Cardboard Classic is how refugees escape from which country? All right. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Buddy. Hey, Buddy. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. So, Buddy, the Cardboard Classic is how refugees escape from which country?
Canada.
Canada! You're right, buddy. Hang on. For the correct answer, I have a 4-pack of tickets for you to see Matchroom Boxing. And that's March 15th at Leah Corps Center. And you can get your tickets at leahcorpscenter.com. We're ready for music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! You piece of shit, we're live!
Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Information at salusuhealth.com/PEI. Soundgarden and Pearl Jam drummer Matt Cameron has reportedly launched some sort of a new musical project with Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins.
Wow.
Sounds pretty cool to me. The two appeared in brief video clips from the studio, along with Melvin's frontman, Buzz Osborne. But no other details about the project have surfaced yet. Cameron has always been involved in different projects and artists over the years. When not busy with Soundgarden or Pearl Jam, and releasing a solo album, or I'm sorry, he did release a solo album called Cave Dweller in late 2017. And Taylor Hawkins also has launched several side projects when not working with Foo Fighters, including the Coattail Riders, the cover band Chevy Metal, and more recently, the Birds of Satan. So we'll see what they hold in store down the road. Celebrating the life of Chester Bennington, a photo exhibit by Jim Louval is scheduled for March 20th, what would have been the 43rd birthday of the late Linkin Park singer. And this will be at Black Sheep Gallery in Burbank, California. It's sold out. Due to the demand, organizers have added a second date the following night on Thursday, March 21st. The exhibition will feature never-before-seen photos captured by Bennington's close friend, Louval. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to Chester's widow, to Linda Bennington's charity for suicide prevention called 320 Changes Direction. Muse frontman Matt Bellamy recently spoke with Guitar World magazine about the changing role of the guitar in a musical landscape currently dominated by EDM and beat-oriented music. Bellamy explained the only kind of guitar that is relevant, or at least still useful nowadays, is guitar that is showcased as being a guitar. And by that, I mean the guitar is no longer heard just strumming away in the background and creating a sort of pad-like sound. He said rock music as a genre is shifting, and it has to shift. It is no longer a dominant force on the pop chart, so I think finding ways to incorporate other instrumentation into Muse has been a sort of passion of ours, and it's something that we're sticking to. Muse has experimented with electronic sounds on many of its albums, with Bellamy saying there's no reason that, from a production aspect, that we have to restrict ourselves to the instruments that we're mostly trained to use, which are guitar, bass, and drums, and maybe piano. We're no longer in an age where people identify themselves purely with one genre of music, like how the 20th century was the rock and pop culture. Now people just love the music they love. So that's his take.
Word.
Telling Guitar magazine. And then finally, the Oscar award-winning Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody will finally be released in China, with the scenes showcasing drug use and Freddie Mercury's gayness cut from the movie.
It's kind of a weird thing, is it not?
It's going to be a lot less movie.
But they've added this scene, Preston.
This is one massive man.
You found
it. Yeah, it's just crazy.
There's a lot of drugs and a lot of gayness in that movie.
Yeah, there is.
Well,
there is.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid to take that out.
Mm-hmm. So they'll have the cuts, removing portrayals of drug use.
And the music, too. They're taking that out.
Drug use and several intimate kisses between Rami Malek's Mercury and other male characters.
The movie actually ends up being just a wonderful little story about a guy who loads luggage into planes.
That's just the beginning. Unlike in most major films, it'll only be getting a limited release in China, courtesy of the National Alliance of Art House Cinemas, a public-private Public-private.
Yeah, it's a public-private.
That's what it says. It. Public-private initiative.
Okay.
Run by the state-supported China Film Archive and Consortium of Commercial Theater Chains.
Do you know what movie they let stay completely intact? Mm. Monster Truck.
Oh, man, really?
I mean, come on, man.
If you're going to cut one, cut the other. All right, and that's what I have in the music news segment for you. One last $50 gift card to the great Redstone American Grill. This is in Plymouth Meeting, who visited us today, by the way. RedstoneGrill.com. And back in business better than ever. And is the perfect spot for a business lunch or romantic dinner. Reservations at RedstoneGrill.com. Caller number 21. We are going to give you that $50 gift card. 215-263-WMMR is the number. So go ahead. And thanks again to Redstone for giving us the dinners that we gave away for Valentine's Day, if you remember.
Yeah.
A lot of happy people after that. We're going to take a break. Coming back in just a moment or two to wrap up the program. Stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Preston and Steve Show about ready to come to a close for today. This time tomorrow, we'll be walking out of the E2000 Lounger by now because we wrap up the show at 10 a.m. on Cardboard Classic Day. But we'll already, by this time, be on our staging area.
Yeah.
And welcoming the crowd and getting started with our fastest sled competition, which is how we lead off the Cardboard Classic. And then we start sending down the creations. And see how they fare. And this year, some new awards. One of them is our favorite fail, which I'm excited for. And our judges are all prepared to make the call on who's going to win all those cash prizes. We got 2,000 this time around for the first place, so we doubled that.
The cool part is you get a good chunk of this, and then honestly, if the conditions, and they should be very, very good, then you take to the slopes yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Casey's going to take to the slopes today.
Yeah.
Heading out there to do some skiing. Or what is it called?
Snowblading.
Snowblading.
Yeah. You can make fun of me all you want. I don't care. I'm going to go have some fun. It's been a little while since I've actually been on skis. So.
You love the snowblades, right? Which is sort of like an easier. Are they easier skis?
They're just smaller. That's all. So you don't go as fast or whatever. But I just sort of happened upon them a few years back, and by a few years back, I mean like 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I fell in love with them. So
do you think I could pick something like that up a lot easier than regular skis?
Easily, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't go as fast. It's easier to maneuver and, you know, all that.
Yeah, the longer the ski, the faster you'll go.
Okay.
So these are short. They're pussy skis, but they're, you know, they're fun, right? You said I could make fun of you, so
yeah.
I went ahead and did
Somebody
that.
Told me that they're good. So I'm teaching Jace to ski, but they're good for that, so that you don't have the big, long skis and you can kind of maneuver, help him up if he falls and things like that. So,
oh, yeah. Right. Oh, so if you're teaching him.
Jace, no, to put Jace on regular skis, but that I would throw those on. It's just easier to maneuver around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If you're trying to help somebody.
If you're looking to just have some fun and go down the hill, then that's the way to go. And you don't have to worry about getting out of control.
Right.
Yeah.
Would they be good just for comfortable walking
everyday
around town?
For shoes, for footwear? Sure. Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's been so long since I've had skis on. I couldn't, like, I knew where my skis were, but I was like, and then I couldn't
find. You didn't know where your house was.
No, I couldn't find my ski boots.
Oh.
And then I found them. They were just in a corner of the garage. And so here, it was so scary because I took the
There's a monster in there.
Well, I took the ski boots out of the box, and it looked like at some point, I don't know if this was in my garage or in my shed in my old house.
Oh!
If there was a mouse had made a home.
Oh!
Oh, totally.
Okay? So I'm looking at the boots, and they look. So the box is where the house was, right?
Yeah. There's a monster
but
in there.
But I had to put my hands into the ski boots, do you know what I mean? To see
if the mouse was in there.
To see if there was a mouse in there.
Yeah.
If you remember in Flash Gordon, there was a scene where they had to, like, stick their hand in that, like, gross rock, and you didn't know if the monster was going to eat your hand or whatever.
And if it bit you, you died.
Yes, that's what I felt like when I was putting my hands in those ski boots. Thank God.
Wow.
No dead mice.
Yes.
No live mice either.
Yeah, wow. What a story.
It was a great story.
Yeah.
What a story.
No, so we're headed to the Cardboard Classic tonight, and somebody texted and said, where's the party tonight? You had said, Casey, Captain Morgan is doing an event at Shenanigans.
That's a legit party, straight up, bro.
It's not like an MMR appearance, but you will find that everybody from the Cardboard Classic is going to be there.
And our sales staff will be there.
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
I mean, their tagline.
If you've always wanted to meet Matt Cowper.
He'll be there.
Tonight.
You'll hear him when you get there.
It's going to be sick.
It's going to be sick. It's going to be a rager. Cake stands and everything.
A rager. Yeah.
They usually actually
snow skis.
use the slogan, sooner or later, everybody ends up with shenanigans. And it's true, because there's not a ton of places to go in and around.
There's nothing else.
All right, I was being kind. But, yeah, everybody ends up with shenanigans, and it's a fun place. Pierre, we've done karaoke there many, many times, and it's a blast.
What I do here is, you know, regardless, the place is set up and conducive for a lot of fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see the sales staff roll in the next morning.
Yes.
Though.
Yes. They are hurting.
They're green.
The next day.
They put it on somebody's tab.
Sick.
If any of us want to party a little bit, we have to temper it a little because we got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. So we're not gonna floor it and these guys go to town. And, I feel sick.
I feel so sick.
I feel sick. real quick, thank yous. Thanks to Richard Curtis.
Yeah.
Flashroom. TV show is moved to 6:30 p.m. weeknights on Fox 29. He's a great guy. Please watch the show. Mark Norman, who's going to be Helium tonight, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's great. We love him. Had him by before. And we met a new friend, Ali Sadiq. How great was he? He is a punchline. So lots of great comedy in town this weekend. And thank you once again to Redstone American Grill for coming by today. They are open again after the fire, and they brought by a lot of great stuff. So we appreciate that. Pierre is here. Pierre will be joining us tomorrow for Cardboard Classic.
I will.
And headed down tonight, or do you
I'm going to go this evening. Normally, I go the day of, but there is some snow off and on forecast, so I thought I would do the right thing and go early.
You think you'll end up at Shenanigans tonight?
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. All right.
I don't have to get up as early as you do.
That's cool that you'll be on the grounds, too. You can, and bop on over earlier and hang with us.
I will bop, and I will be.
Good.
Well, you've had to deal with the line getting in, and we've been saying all week, we've been saying forever, get there early tomorrow, because a lot of people show up, and there are a lot of sleds, but there are a lot of spectators as well, and you want to make sure if you're going to get there early so you can see the event.
It's weird, though, in a way, because you have an electric car, you can't tear gas pumps out anymore. You would have to have your electric plug, right, would have to tear out of the wall.
Well, it won't let you even go out of the... It won't let you move.
If it's plugged in. Okay, but there you go.
So it won't let you do that.
Well, thank God.
Steve is referring, if you haven't heard. I was at the Conshohocken Wawa, and there's a... I mean, the Conshohocken... Well, there's a Sunoco, and there's a Wawa right next door. I was filling, and I said, I'm going to run in, get coffee and my vitals. I ran out, and of course, I'm running ever so slightly behind, so I'm really running, and I throw all the stuff in the car and put it in gear, and... Off I go, clung, and I go, oh, dear.
You're in a club with Preston. Yeah.
Well, he joined first.
Yeah.
He
did it after.
He's
the founder
of
the club. Then I mistakenly told my producer at the time, Jason, I said, shh, no, just don't. And of course, 10 minutes later, I'm hearing it on the radio. Guess what Pierre did? Oh, I wish we had video of that. You rat.
Fun time had by all. Yeah. All right, let's do this letter, and then we'll turn the controls over to you.
Here, Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in regional.
All right, and we got one more letter to go. We'll get it tomorrow, and then we'll give away the 4 tickets to see WWE live Saturday night at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino Atlantic City, plus 2 hotel rooms for the night. And you can come to the Legends of the Ring Friday night at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. They'll discuss the WWE. And then on Saturday, WWE Live takes over Atlantic City at the Hard Rock. You can get tickets at HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com. What is on the program today, sir?
We will have a workforce block of Bon Jovi. John's birthday is coming up this weekend. We've got Pop Evil in the workforce block. We've got a Rolling Stones block. Brian Jones of the band would have, had he survived, been 77 today. And we'll have more Bob Weir tickets and more Korn and Alice in Chains tickets. And we'll get ready for the Cardboard Classic.
Very cool. Looking forward to it. Let me thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme. They are the official supermarket of the Presidency Show. Also, Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, JFBB, where the snow comes first. That's where we'll be tomorrow. And the Atlantic City Boat Show. It's going on now through March 30th. March 3rd. It's a month-long boat show. March 3rd at the Atlantic City
never ends.
Convention Center, acboatshow.com. So that's it, gang. Have a great day. We'll see you on the slope tomorrow. Rage on. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Oh, my God. Where are my keys? 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 Oh. There.
Next message.
If you're going to Jack Frost tonight, yell get Zooks, get Zooks. If you're gonna drink all the beer you can, yell get Zooks, get Zooks. If you're headed to Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 and you're so excited you can't wait, yell get Zooks, get Zooks.
Next message.
What I can't comprehend is these millennials are sitting in the office with their hands all perfectly clean like a model, and us people in our 40s, 50s, and 60s, we're on the shop busting our asses, and they keep bringing more and more work out and expect it all done by Friday? No, I don't think so, brother.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.